Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Tzadik Gimel, and we are 33 lines from the top of daf Tzadik Beis Amid Beis, Rabbi Yirmiyah Baraba Omar. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael Hanasuna Matzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shleima for Shleima Ben Chaya Leah, Yair Yehoshua Ben Chaya Atara, Chava Miriam Basmalka Freda, and Aharon Yaakov Ben Sara. So we're moving along here in the beginning of Perek Chelek, and really we're in the midst of our first major digression. So there's been digressions, but this is the first major digression where we pivoted from Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek La'olam Haba Ve'elu She'en Lam Chelek La'olam Haba Ho'imer Ein Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah to the Mesim Shehechye Yecheskel. So today's daf is going to pick up with a continued discussion of the Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel. And from there, it's going to pivot through the end of the daf into tomorrow's daf, discussing the story of Hananya Mishael Vazaria, as in Misha Onol Hananya Mishael Vazaria, Besoich Kivshon Ha'esh, Hu Yanenu, that story which is told in Sefer Daniel, there's aspects of it in Sefer Yirmiyahu, it's that episode that is going to be the main topic of today's daf. Now, as it relates to the Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel, that's Yecheskel Perek Lamed Zayin that we talked already a little bit about yesterday. Yecheskel has a nevuah where he's told to go out into a bika, and he sees Atzomos Yeveshos. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him to be Mechaya Atzomos Yeveshos. Who exactly they are, what their tachlis was, that the Gemara discusses. But what's mefurish in the psukim is that it was all a mashal. And the nimshal was that Klai Yisrael at the time was saying that we feel like Atzomos Yeveshos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yecheskel, go tell the Jews that just like you are Mechaya these Atzomos, so too they're going to have some sort of tchia. I'm a Mechaya Mesim, I'm a Mechaya Chaim. And this was a tremendous, tremendous chizik that the Yidden needed and received at that time. As it relates to the story of Hananya Mishael Vazaria. So, of course, the background is Churban Bayis Rishon, the Yidden living in Bavel, 70 years, Nebuchadnezzar. We can't go through the whole history of it, but the very, very, very short version is Nebuchadnezzar was a very powerful king, ruled over the Babylonian Empire for 45 years. He destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. He goes down as top 10, even higher than that, worst people of all time. And one of the things that Nebuchadnezzar had done in his kingdom was he had erected this massive monument, this huge tzelem, and he forced every single person to bow down to it. And everybody did. In fact, the fact that everyone had bowed down to this tzelem was so significant that the Gemara says, according to one man, the Amar, and it's seemingly the maskana of the Gemara, that was the reason for the Purim story. That the Pesach that the Sitra Achra had, the Pesach that Haman had to be Makatrig against Klal Yisrael, literally in the form of a final solution, was because the Yidden were guilty of obeying Nebuchadnezzar and bowing down to the Tzelem. But the Psukim say that there were three Yidden that were part of the government on some level of Nebuchadnezzar that refused to bow down, and they were Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria. Everyone did, Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria didn't. By the way, one of the things the Gemara is going to address, there were other great people that lived in that area at that time. The first that comes to mind is Daniel. If Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria are the only three that didn't bow down to the Tzelem, does that mean that Daniel did bow down to the Tzelem? Of course not. In fact, the Gemara is going to ask Akasha, Daniel, Lehecha Nazlo, where exactly was Daniel? It's part of the avodah of the sugya to figure out, why is it only Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria? What happened to the other tzaddikim that lived during that era? It can't be that they bow down. It's interesting that when you learn the Gemara, the Pashto says that this Tzelem was a proper avodah zar. And that is the opinion of Rav Rishonim, stating that Tosfos throughout Shas quotes Rabbeinu Tam, where Rabbeinu Tam had many rayas. We have a fartiger raid bite on this topic from the last machzer, where Rabbeinu Tam proved that the Tzelem was not Avodah Zarah. All it was Andarti Asui L'Kavod HaMelech. Now, if that's all it was, why was it so gefährlich that the Yidden bowed down to it? Why did that trigger lehashmid leharig ulabid? We're going to see in today's daf what a kitrig there was on the Yidden at that time. If it's avodah zarah, it's understood. But if it's not avodah zarah, and if Nebuchadnezzar was going to be pretty disappointed, you see, it was yehareg v'al yaver. What did he do to Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah? He threw them into the kivshan ha'esh. So why is it so terrible? It's a little tzarech bir. But the bottom line is, Rabbeinu Tam is the grace of chiddush in the sugya, quote unquote, of Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, who held that the tzelem was actually not avodah zarah. But the bottom line is, all the Jews bowed down. Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah didn't. Nebuchadnezzar was not happy. Old school king, he's a Moshe B'kippa. He told Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, this is your last chance. Do it in a public spectacle. And if not, I'm going to throw you into a furnace. I'm going to throw you into a kivshan ha'esh. Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, they held steadfast in their faith. They didn't bow down to the Tzelem. They were thrown into the kivshan ha'esh. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu had performed a miracle to the Zayd Avram Avinu, who emerged from the Ur Kasdim. He emerged from the Kivshan Ha'esh when he was thrown in by Nimrod. So too, history would repeat itself, where you had another Babylonian king who would throw three great Jews into a Kivshan Ha'esh. And Nachamal, they had a tremendous Yeshua. The circumstances surrounding this episode is going to be very much a topic of today's daf. Now, how did these two ideas converge? We're going from the Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel, that's where it's all going to begin, and it's going to end with Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. So if you learn the Pshutei Shel Mikra, there's no clear evidence that there's any linkage, any connection between these two events. Stating that, Chazal had a Messiah that the two things actually happened at the same instance. Wow. At the same exact time that Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah were thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh, and they were saved, Mamish Punklich, Ba'oysa Shah. Yecheskel was in the Bikka and he was being Mechaya Mesim. Is there a significance about the fact that the two things happened at the same time? That's another one of the things that we are going to, Ezus Hashem, see a little bit more about in the course of the daf. So let's just take a little bit of inventory. We were holding right now. Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel. We had a Braisa that talked a little bit about what did these Mesim do. So Yecheskel's Mechaya Mesim. Now what? Rabbi Eliezer said they got up and they sang Shira. Machloikis Amiram, what the nusach of the Shira was. But Rabbi Eliezer said that they sang Shira. Rabbi Yehuda said the story never happened. Be'emes mashal hoya. The whole thing was really a mashal. Rabbi Eliezer benoishal, Rabbi Yosi Aglili said they got up, they went to Eretz Yisrael, they got married, they had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. In fact, the great Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said, Ani mi b'nei b'neihem. Then the Gemara had another related discussion and said, who were they? Okay, so we know what happened to them after the fact, but who were they before the fact? Who were these Mason? So we're in middle of the Gemara's discussion. At this point, we've seen two shitas. The first one is Rav. Rav said they were the B'nai Ephraim, the infamous B'nai Ephraim, or the very, very holy B'nai Ephraim, but they are the B'nai Ephraim. Shmuel said that these were people that lived in the time of Yecheskel. They were koifer b'tchias ha-mesim, and they got to see with their own eyes that, no, tchias ha-mesim is a very, very real thing. The Gemara is going to bring a third shita, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, a fourth shita, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, a fifth shita, Rabbi Yochanan, and it's there that today's daf begins. Zokt the Heilige Gemara. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar, the third opinion as it relates to what exactly or who exactly were the Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel, Elu Bnei Adam She'im Bem Lachluchas HaMitzvah. These were people that didn't even have moisture of a mitzvah. They were so oisketriken. That's almost yavashis, right? They were so yavesh, they didn't even have Lachluchas Shal Mitzvah. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ha'atzamas HaYavashis Shimu Dvar Hashem. Meaning, Pashat, they're Atzamas Yavashis because they're just dried out. But there's a pun intended. And really, in the word Yevesha is the mafteach to understanding what their deal was. They were completely dried out from mitzvahs. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, the fourth sheet, the Elub Neyadam Shechipo, the Heichel Kuloi, Shkatzim Virim Asim. These were people, imagine, covered the walls of the Heichel with pictures of Shkatzim Virim Asim. So they brought these pagan pictures into the Makam HaMikdash, but not just anything. Shkatzim Virim Asim, the lowest of the low. Shenemar, what's the Makar to such an Indian? The Pasuk says, Va'avai Ve'era, this is Yecheskel talking. I entered and I saw, V'hinei Kol Tavnes Remes Uvehim HaShekets, V'chol Gilulei Beis Yisrael, Mechuke Alakir Sofiv Sofiv. As I walk into the Makam HaMikdash, and this is what I saw. I saw every single tavnis of a remes, a behemo, a sheket, kol gilulei beis Yisrael. They were all engraved into the wall. Now it says soviv soviv, ksiv hasam, and it says when Yecheskel was mechayid the mason, the heavy rani aleihem soviv soviv. So we make exer shav. It must be these were the chaver. Rabbi Yochanan Amar elu mason shebikas dura. You want to know who they were? They were the mason of bikas dura. We'll see about that in a second. But parenthetically, Rabbi Yochanan said that if you want to know what the area of Bikas Dura is, so Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael the Geyid, but he knew the geography of Bavel. He said it's Minahar Eshel Ad Rabas Bikas Dura. That area is what's known as Bikas Dura. Now, what's the background? Who were these Mason? Why are there all these dead people? It sounds like there was a big pogrom in that area. What's the rest of that story? Said Rabbi Yochanan, Shehiklu Nebuchadnezzar, Rosh HaSisro, because when Nebuchadnezzar took the Yidden into Galus, Hoyibem Bachurim, Shoyim Aganenes, Hachama B'Yofyon, they were Bachurim that were so beautiful that they were Megana the Chama B'Yofyon. So the Chama very often is associated with beauty. Ur is very often associated with beauty. And these Bachurim were so beautiful that they made the sun pale in comparison. And the Kastiyos, these were the Babylonian women, they would see them. Because of a taiva fatashmish, they would literally become zavis. They told their husbands what was happening. Husbands were very disappointed. And they went and they told the king. The king said, you can't have these people and go ahead and kill them. But their bodies, the corpses, were pashut lying on the ground and the women would see them and they were still shoifos zavis. So the king went and he said, you have to trample them. You mamish have to destroy their guf. These are the mesim shebebikas Dura, and in the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, these were the Mason Shehechia Yecheskel. So again, who are the Mason Shehechia Yecheskel? Rav said the Bnei Ephraim. Shmuel said Bnei Adam Shekofru B'tchias HaMason B'darish Al Yecheskel. Rabbi Yimri Barabba said these were Bnei Adam Sheim B'machlucha Shal Mitzvah at Somas Yevesha, is pun intended. Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha said these were people that covered the walls of the Heichal with all these abominations, with the Shkatzim V'Ramasim. Rabbi Yochanan said that the Mason Sheheimis Nevuchadnezzar Machmas Goydel Yofyon Bevikas Dura. Either way, as promised, we're going to pivot now to Hananya Mishal Vazariah. Turn her up. When Nebuchadnezzar threw Hananya Mishal Vazariah into the Kivshon Ha'esh, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yecheskel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel, Leich V'Hachye Mason Bevikas Dura. Right now, I want you to go be Mechayim Mason. Keep on Shehechia Oisam. As soon as he was Mechayim, then Bo Atzamis. V'tavkuloi lo Oisei Rosh Ha'alponov. So the Atzamis, this is before they even took proper form. They came in the form of Atzamis. They went to the Nebuchadnezzar and old school. They gave him a pachim punim. They slapped him in the face. Amar Nebuchadnezzar said, Mati von Shalelu. Right? He turns to his chevra. He says, do I know you? Like, who exactly are these people? What exactly is happening? Amru loy chavirein shalelu mechayim mesim bikas dura. Their chaver, who's them? The chaver of Hananya Mishal Vazariah is being mechayim mesim right now in bikas dura. And these are the atzamos that suddenly are in the midst of coming to life. That's what's going on. Pasach v'amar. So when Nebuchadnezzar heard that, he said the following pasach. In fact, he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Osoi kamaravrivim. Your osois, they're so great. V'simhoi, and your wonders kamatekifin. They're so powerful. Malchusei malchus olam, v'sholtonei imdar v'dar. Right? Malchuscha malchus kolaylonim, umemshaltecha v'chol dar v'dar in Aramaic. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Yutzak zav reiseach atoy piv shal osoi Russia. So Yitzhak Zav literally means take gold and pour it into the mouth. Zav Reiseach means burning gold. But really what it is some sort of expression like give him a curse, quiet him. Because had a Malach not come and given Nebuchadnezzar a pachem punim and stopped him from talking, meaning Nebuchadnezzar at that point started singing Shira. And the Shira that he was singing was such an incredible Shira that literally a Malach had to come. The Sfar Maktoshim say it was the Malach Gavriel. The Malach Gavriel comes and he gave him a slap in the face. Stop singing Shira. Because his Shira had such a koyach, it had such a power that it was literally going to be Megana, all the Shiras of his Hishbachos that even David HaMelech had said. So two things. First of all, why was it that the two things coincided like this? That at the time that Nebuchadnezzar threw Hananya Mishal Vazariah into the Kivshon Ha'esh, Davke then Yecheskel was Mechayim Mesim and that Somois come and they appear in front of Nebuchadnezzar, right? If first glance, the two stories have nothing to do with each other. But the Marsha says, Al Derech HaPshat. He says, because Nebuchadnezzar was trying to show he's Balabus, right? He's Melech. You have to bow down to me. So Nebuchadnezzar goes, and he takes Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, and he throws them into the Kibshan HaEsh, as if he can determine who's going to live and who's going to die, right? He has the ruler pointing to the right and pointing to the left. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Nebuchadnezzar, not only can you not kill somebody that I don't want to die, meaning not only am I the one that's in control of who dies and who lives, I could do even more than that. I could even take somebody that's dead and I can bring him back to life. This was part of the message that was being sent to Nebuchadnezzar. You have no control to kill someone you don't want to kill. The Eibush is a memesu mechaya, and that's what the Eibush showed right here. He showed it by saving Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, and then he said, Yehuda v'Oyvukra, I'm even going to take the mason that died already and I'm going to bring them back to life. But it's your dua. It's your dua. The Rabbi Yitzchak said, Yitzchak Zob, by the way, just meditate on that line. That Nebuchadnezzar starts singing Shira, and the Shira that Nebuchadnezzar was singing is greater than the Shira of David HaMelech. Not only greater than the Shira, it was going to make David HaMelech's Shira almost look small. Read to you one excerpt of a Meshech Chachma. This is in Parsha Shmini. He's actually being Mefarish, a Medrash in Parshas Vayakel, this week's Parsha. But it's a Meshech Chachma in Parsha Shmini. I'm not going to go through the Meshech Chachma, it's a long piece, but just one excerpt to see how the tzaddikim view this chazal. Ubemedrash vayakel, toiv shem mishem en toiv. Toiv hoya shmoisam shol Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, mishem en hamishcho shenimshechu nodav v'avir. A little bit of a Medrash Pliya, it's a Medrash Rabbah, but this is what the Meshech Chachma is addressing. Ho'inyin. Da'al yidei Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, hoya kiddush Hashem godol me'od. Ad, dinofel Nebuchadnezzar v'omar, brich eloika. V'chol dairei arok, kuloch hashivim. V'omar zeh, here's the punchline, b'rakshus, u'bedveikus atzumo, u'behispashtus hagashmi, u'behachno. Imagine. Ad ki omru chazal, ki rotz legano yisefer tehillim, sh'advekus chazoka etzloy lemo'oid, u'bo malach v'sotrei alpiv. And the malach had to come and stop him. How did the malach stop him? So he says, o'inyin, sh'nesoyru koyach tavoni. Because a person is made up of a neshama, he's made up of a gof. And as much as Nebuchadnezzar at that moment was oymid on such a hisayiris, this is so insightful. At the same time, he was a baal gof, and he was a baal taiva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the malach to be me'ir in him, the koyach ha'tavoni, u'bilbo l'sichloi, v'hevet his palusai v'rikshosi ha'gdoilu l'elikim. And he lost this ganzes rakshas. Fascinating. But just the way Ramei Simcha describes this maimon, the Nebuchadnezzar comes. If you say Bikash Lagane Sefer Tehillim, then you have to be oymen on David HaMelech with the ganze ganzkeit. He's the Av of Ruach HaKodesh and all the dveikis with which it was written, and recognize that Nebuchadnezzar must have tapped into that on some level. That's the Madrega. But it's your dua that the Kotzker ever said, it's put down in all the Svarim, that what was the oymik? What was the inyan? So Nebuchadnezzar is saying Tehillim, and he's singing shiras v'sashbachas that actually make Tehillim pale in comparison. And the malach came v'satre al piv to get him to be quiet. So the Kotzker Rebbe said that the oymik is Nebuchadnezzar right now was on top of the world. Nebuchadnezzar had everything. He's Moshe Bekeeper. He has all the money. Everyone's bowing down. Punk three people are not, but everyone is bowing down to him. And he's literally berum hamayla. For a person to sing shiras v'sashbachas when his life is perfect, said the Kotzker Rebbe's Nishta Zakunz. So the Malach came and the Malach said, you think he's making David HaMelech look bad? Let's see. Give him a smack. Give him a frask. Lomazain. Let's see if he's going to sing Shira right now. He said, David HaMelech went through so much tzaras. David HaMelech, Bevarchem Ibn Avshalom Benoi. David HaMelech, when he's hiding from Shaul and he's always singing Shira. How many times does the Gemara say, Mizmah LeDavid, Kina MiBayaleh? But he's constantly singing Shira. David HaMelech saying Shira is V'Sishbachah. Even in the darkest times, said the Kotzker Rebbe, Nebuchadnezzar is making David HaMelech look bad? I hear, Abba Lomazain, yes. Bom Malach the Sotrei Al Piv. Let's see if when things are not going so well, if he's going to be able to do it. The Kotzker Rebbe was Moisef. He said that we know Vayidem Aharon. Aharon HaKoyen reached such a madrega that he lost his two sons and he was quiet. He didn't say a word. So the Kotzker Rebbe said, it's not Shaykh. The madrega of Vayidem Aharon was unbelievable. He said, but there was a madrega that was aggressive in the madrega of Aharon HaKoyen. And you know whose madrega that was? It was the madrega of David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech said, L'man yizamercha chavoid v'lo yidayim. Hashem Eloikai lo'olam Eideko. Aharon came to a point where he didn't know, he was quiet. He didn't complain. He didn't come with tainus. He didn't come with taroimus. But did he sing shira? No. Vayida mahara means he didn't complain, but it also means he didn't sing. Oh, but David HaMelech was a madrega of lamanya zamercha chavoid v'lo yidoy. Hashem aleikai lo oilo maydeka. It doesn't matter what the matzav is. That's a little bit of the oimik. Oh, what's going on in this very, very holy Gemara. Zok the Gemara vayit. Tanu Rabbanon. We learned that the Brayos. Chishen, Nisim, Nasu, Ba'isei Ayam. There were six miracles that happened to Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah on that day. The Eluhen, Tzof HaKivshan. Number one, the furnace that Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah were thrown into, it was underground. And all of a sudden, it floated to ground level. The Nifrat HaKivshan. And the walls were Nifrats. They were breached. What was the purpose of this? Like this, everybody should be able to see the miracle. V'humak soidoi, the foundation caved in. Rashi says, it's a shayla, is it humak soidoi, humak sidoi? But either way, the idea was that by the foundation caving in, some of the people that were in the surrounding area ended up dying. V'nepach tzalem alponav, and disgrace itself that everybody was supposed to bow down to all of a sudden came tumbling down. V'nisrifu arba malchiyos, and four of the henchmen. And Rashi says, not just the henchmen themselves, but the henchmen and their whole pamalia, right? Their whole posse, all the chevra that were with them, they all were burnt. The hechi yecheskelos and mason vikazdura. And not just that, the sixth miracle was that in vikazdura, yecheskel, as we just said, simultaneously was b'mechayim mason. Says the Gemara. But kulu Gemara, as it relates to these six miracles, all of them we know b'mesayir. Meaning, there's no pasuk anywhere that says this. V'arba malchis kro. One of them, however, meaning five out of the six we know b'mesayir. One of them, however, we have a pasuk for. And that is the fact that the Arba Malchias were killed. Except, what's the makar to this? And this pasuk is a little bit of a reading test. It says, "V'chanetzer Malka shlach lemichdash la'achdarsh la'ach." La'achdarsh darpenaya. This is the easiest word to read. La'achdarsh penaya. Signayu ufachavosa adargos raya. Chtav glazer. Gidav raya disav raya tiftoye v'chol shol toine medinasa. Either way, if you count up the amount of chevra that are over here, you have seven. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, Isai guvrin Yehudoin. Uksiv, and it says, umiskanshin achashtar penaya signaya ufachavosa v'hadavri malka chazim l'guvray ilich. Either way, I'm not going to repeat these words. But if you count up the first list, and you count up the second list. The first list has seven. The second list has three. So the question is, what happened to the other four malchiyos? Oh, must be. There's already a remez in the pasuk that they must have gotten killed. Tani devei Eliezer ben Yaakov. We learned in a braisa that was taught in the yeshiva of Eliezer ben Yaakov. Philip b'shas ha'sakana. Even if a person's in a shas ha'sakana, le'yishana adam es asma min rabbanu shaloi. A person should always look dignified. How do you know that? Shemma, the pasuk says. So this pasuk is describing Hananya, Mishael v'Azariah in the kivshan ha'esh. So what did they look like? Be'dayim guvrayo ilech kfisu besar bolehoin pachehoin v'charbolosoin. So they were literally there with their coats and their beckages and their reckles and their pants and their robes. This is mamish the way they were. They went into the kivshan ha'esh b'derech kovod. Rashi says the reason is because if you're going to do that, then the enemy is going to be embarrassed. That's what Rashi says. U'misbayishin soinov miponov. And the truth is that this gemara right here, unfortunately, is a Gemara that Gedolei Yisrael refer to in situations. There's stories during the Holocaust. There were stories with different Gedolei Yisrael that were being led to the concentration camps or wherever exactly it was, and they went in the most dignified of way because there's a Mesoira. Afilu b'shas ha'sakana lo yeshana adam es atzma min ha'rabonu shalayim. B'frat ha'rabonim, they would go b'derech kovid mamish following the lead of Hananya, Mishael v'Azariah. Zok de Gemara v'ayta. Am Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon, Gedolei Tzadik Yoyitz Malachi Asharis. Tzadikim are greater than Malachi Asharis. Shinem, the pasuk says, "Oneva Omar ha ano chazi guvrin arbaosh rayon mahalchem begoy nura v'chavol lo isai b'hoim v'revei diriviyaya domi d'bar alohon." That Nebuchadnezzar says that I looked into the fire and I saw four people. Who are the four? Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah is three. So the fourth one is, if you look at the pasuk a little bit more carefully, v'revei diriviyaya domi d'bar alohon. Said to me, it looked like a malach. So four people. First, Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah, and the fourth, Kilu, the fourth person is the Malach. Must be that Tzadikim are greater than Malachi Ashnar. So that's Rabbi Yechanan said. You see from the fact that we say that the Malach is the, what do you mean he's the fourth? He's the first. They're two, three, and four. So must be G'day with Tzadikim. Now, truth is like this. Tzadikim are greater than Malachi Asharis, right? Who's greater, the Tzaddik or the Malach Asharis? So we're not going to talk about this now, but the Maramakim for this is the Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Aleph Perek Yud, he says, quote, read one paragraph. Al pizeh yevoya pesha dover, be'in shinui deyo yishabein gedoyle yorishoynim, ima odom yisro godom me'amalach, oy malach godom imenu. right? V'chol echod mishnei hadeyos maybe rayos mefuroshos mimikrois mefuroshim. So says Reb Chaim V'loshana, ani achriya. The other maramakim, of course, is the Petuchei Chosim, where the Chassam Sofer said that Chanoich became the Malach Matat. Avram Avinu never became a Malach. But the Chassam Sofer said that if Avram Avinu would have wanted to become a Malach, he also could have become a Malach. But he understood that the Eibishter creates Malachim every single day, and the Eibishter daf nich a Malach. Fakir, the Eibishter wants a boss of Adam, someone that's going to be Meroim in the world, even if it comes at the expense of him not being able to reach his own personal Shleimus. But this is a Mefurish Gemara. G'doylem Tzadikim, Yoisim Malachi Asharis. But again, it's a sugya literally in terms of who's great. Is man greater than the tzaddik? Is the tzaddik greater than is Malachi Asharis greater than the tzaddik, or is the tzaddik greater than Malachi Asharis? When Chanan Mishal Azariah came and emerged from the Kivshon Eish, so the Umay Sa'ilim came and they slapped all the Yidden, it says Soinei Mishal Yisrael, but that's a euphemism, in their face. Amru lahem, they told him, Yesh lochem Elika kozeh v'atem mishtachvim l'tzelem. So, the way the events of Hanani, Mishal, v'Azariah played out was, it backfired a little bit on the Yidden. On the one end, there was this gevaldige kiddush Hashem, but then all of a sudden, the Jews started looking so bad. The Umay Sa'ilam literally were coming and giving Teichacha, and they said, I understand. You have such a religion, you have such a God. Look at what he just did to Hanani, Mishal, v'Azariah. So what are you doing bowing down to the Tzelem? And literally, they were getting bushes and bezionis. In fact, Miyad Paschu v'Amru, the Yidden got up, and they said, some say Hanani, Mishal, v'Azariah, the ones that said this. L'cha Hashem atztaka, v'lonu boishas ha'panim k'yem hazeh. In other words, there were these two emotions that were happening at the same time amongst the Yidden. On the one hand, l'cha Hashem atztaka, because of what Hashem had done to Hanani, Mishal, v'Azariah. But then again, there was also a hergish of v'lonu boishas ha'panim. Amar Rav Shlomo bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonis. I think what's behind the pasuk that says, Amarti elek b'samar, oichaza b'sansinav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I said that I'm going to rise like a tamar, right, like a palm tree. Oichaza Bisan Sanov. But I am taking hold only of the branches. So what's this? Havamina and Maskana, Amarti, Elabasamar, says the Gemara, Elu Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I gave the Yidin a Nesoyim. The Nesoyim was, don't bow down to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. And I was hoping and expecting that all of Klal Yisrael was going to be Meskaber. And if that happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I would have been Ela Bisamar. I wasn't Zoicha to a whole tree. What I was Zoicha to was one Sansan, one branch, or three branches. Shalchananya Mishal Varzaya. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. My dichsa, what's behind the pasuk? And this is a pasuk in Zechariah. So the nevuos of Zechariah are unique in terms of how mysterious and vague they were. So Zechariah says, Ra'isi halayla, I saw the night. V'ine ish roichav asus adam, and I saw a man, he was riding on a red horse. V'hu oimed beina hadasim asher b'metzula, and he was standing between the hadasim of Dalad Minim Thane, and it was b'metzula, it was in the pool, it was in the swamp. Says the Gemara, my Ra'isi halayla, what does it mean, I saw the night? Said Zechariah said, this was a remez, b'kish HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hafik es kol oilem kulei l'layla. Means I saw a matzav of layla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the world. He wanted to turn the world into layla. And the rest of the story is, it's at the time that the Yidu and Neshtach v'letzelem, which by the way, referred to the introduction of the daf. That was the kitrik on the Purim story of l'hashmed l'harug l'avitz. This is all related. V'hine ish roichev. And then I saw an ish roichev, ein ish al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Ishmolchama Hashem Shemoy. Says I saw a Kadosh Baruch Hu being roichiv on a red horse. Why Asus Adam? Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu lafik asayim kulo yudam. Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to turn the entire world into blood. But then he saw Chanani Mishal Vazayo and Eskaru Daitei. Where do you see Chanani Mishal Vazayo? Shenemar it says v'hu oimi bein adasim asher ben metzulo. Then hadasim. Who's hadasim? El tzadikim. Shenemar vayehi oimen es hadasim. Who's that hadasim? Esther. And by the way, it's a shtickle, pun intended, because this is very much, as we said, intertwined with the Purim story. The ein metzula el bavel, and the metzula is bavel. Shenemar ha'oimer latzula cha ravi. I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu who says to the tzula, right? This pool, this body of water, be dry. The naharei sayach. But the point is, it's referring specifically to Bavel. Miyad Maleim Roigis Nasim Sirukim Vaduman. And immediately, what happened was, all of the anger, right, all of the Edoim, and all of the Roigis was Nasa Levana became white. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very, very angry, and that's symbolizing the fact that, number one, it was Laila. Number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is riding on this red horse, but then he sees an ish that's oimed ben ha-dasim b'metzul. He sees Hanani, Mishal, v'Azaryo, and then all of a sudden, this Malayim Roiges, Nasim, Srukim, v'Adumim suddenly turned into Levonim, and really, that's the end of the pasuk over there in Yecheskel, where Yecheskel says, v'acharav susim adumim srukim u'levonim. And what it means is that the susim that were adumim srukim, they turned into Levonim. Meaning, when you read the pasuk, it sounds like there's this horse that's riding, and this horse is chasing it. Said Zechariah, this is the rest of the Sor. Rapapa said, but Derech Agav, Shmamina, you see from here, sus yachibara mailu lechelma, that if you see a white horse inside a dream, you should know it's a good thing. Incidentally, it's just kedai to mention this, because it's one of the themes here, and that is, you know, whenever you learn the Purim story, right? We're within Shloshim Yoyim of when Purim was. Whenever you learn the Purim story, so where do you go? You go right away to Esther, the Book of Esther, obviously Masechtas Megillah, Esther Rabbah, and all the Gevaldige Midrashim that you have as it relates to the story of Esther. But the truth is, the story of Esther is very much interrelated with a lot of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim that were written during that time, right? It very much intersects with Ezra and Nehemiah and Daniel, and you see here the Nevuahs of Zechariah, and there's a lot of information that are so integral in terms of understanding the Purim story that really at first glance you wouldn't even think to go look there. Either way, this Gemara has real Purim vibes. Sok to Gemara Vaita. Rabbona Leheichan Azaz. Again, this is one of the questions that the Gemara pondered as a postscript to the story of Hanani Mishal Vazariah. So what happened to Hanani Mishal Vazariah? And by the way, if you're a student of Nach, you know that Hanani Mishal Vazariah were never heard from again. This is the last time they'd ever be heard from. So they literally like retire on top of the mountain, right? All of a sudden, boom, again. They completely fall off the face of the earth. And the question is, what happened to Hanani Mishal Vazariah? And it was a big machlokes Ayin Haram. Amar Rav said, Ba'ayin Haram Mesu. They died, and they died because of Ayin Haram. Shmuel HaMashmuel said, Beroik Tavu. They drowned in the spittle of the Umay Sa'ilim. Because the Umay Sa'ilim were coming, they were spitting at the Yidin, right? They were slapping them in the face, and they drowned in that spittle. The Marsha says, what does it mean they drowned in that spittle? So Dr. Marsha, can't mean literally, but there was so much spit that they couldn't swim and they drowned, right? That's like a very funny visual. So says the Marsha, no, what happened was is that they were so taken aback by the bushes that the Yidden got as a result of their Yeshua, that they had so much Agmas Nefesh, they ended up dying from the Agmas Nefesh. So because of the Tsar of the Reich, that's what caused them to die. Rabbi Yochanan said, Olu Eretz Yisrael, they went to Eretz Yisrael, V'nosu Noshin, they got married, V'yilidu Banim U'banos, and they had a family. Kitanoi, the Gemara says, really, this Machlokes Amar, again, what are the three Shitas? Rav said, Ba'ayin Horem Mesu, Shmuel said, Beroik Tavu, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Olu Eretz Yisrael, V'nosu Noshin, V'yilidu Banim, it's a Machlokes Tana. What's the Machlokes Tana? Rabbi Lezer realized, says, Ba'ayin Horem Mesu, they died Ba'ayin Horem. Rabbi Shua says, Beroik Tavu. What's the makar to the shita that they went to Eretz Yisrael? Remember, the pasuk says, "Shema no Yehoshua Hakoyin Agadol." At the vreyecha yoichvan lufanecha ki anchi moifesheimo. So the pasuk is talking about Yeshua Kohen Gadol. He's the Kohen Gadol in Eretz Yisrael at that time, or he is someone that was previously a Kohen Gadol, but he's living in Eretz Yisrael. And the pasuk says, "Shema no Yeshua Kohen Gadol." You and your friends. Who are your friends? And not just that, they're referred to as Anshei Moifes Heimo. Ezehuei Manoshim Shenasal Hem Moifes. Who would be the Anshei Moifes? Probably people to whom there was a Moifes. And who was that? Heva Oimer Zechananya Mishal Vazai. So we have a Machlokes Amayram that mirrors a Machlokes Tanam. What happened to Chananya Mishal Vazai? Rav said Ba'ayin Hora Mesu that mirrors Rabbi Eliezer Shita of Ba'ayin Hora Mesu. Shmuel said Beroik Tavu that mirrors Rabbi Yeshua in the Tanoim who said Beroik Tavu. And the great Rabbi Yochanan said, Oh, Eretz Yisrael, that mirrors the shita of the Chachamim in the Braisa. The Marsha says that Rav said Ba'ayin Hara Mesu. He says it's not a coincidence that Rav said that, because Rav said in Bava Mitzia Daf Kuv Zayin Ava Beis, said I went to the Beis HaKfaris and I looked at the Matzevis and I saw that 99 out of 100 people died because of Ayin Hara. So says the Marsha, it's Pashtun, it's Rav L'Shitase. Rav who holds that 99% of people died because of Ayin Hara, so L'Shitase he holds that Ayin Hara is probably what got Hanani Mishal Vazariah. They just had this incredible miracle, and it's Rav L'Shit Tosei that said Ba'ayin Hara Mesu. The truth is, we've spoken about Rav and Ayin Hara so many times. Rav used to sign his name as a fish, Rav Tzayer Kavra, V'yid Gula Roiv, not V'yid Gula Roiv, V'yid Gula Rav, comes from the Rishonim. This idea, because Rav used to sign his name as a fish, Rav lived 400 years, which is the gematria of Ayin Ra, V'hadvar Matikin, Ein Beis Medrash B'lei Chiddush, Rav is the one that says in Bava Basra, that there's something called Hezekriah. It's Rav L'shitasa, because Rav holds that Ayin Hara is something that's very, very chomer. But in Beis Medrash, Boloi Nocha Chiddush, I saw in the Margolis Hayam, so he brings the Marshal, it's Rav L'shitasa, he says it's Rav Eliezer L'shitasa also. Rav Eliezer is the Tana that said it. Rav Eliezer, Oyme B'Ayin Hara Mesu. Where's Rav Eliezer L'shitasa? So it's a Mishnah novice. Chamisha Talmidim Hoyle, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Who are your minor shvachim? And he told them, go out and find to me what's the best midah that a person could have and what's the worst midah that a person could have. And Rabbi Eliezer came back. He said, the best midah is an ayin toiv and the worst midah is an ayin hara. So Zokra, Rufa Margolis, the Marsha said, it's Rav L'shitase. It's also Rabbi Eliezer L'shitase. Zokti Gemara, another question. V'Daniel Lehecha Nozol. Where did Daniel go? So we have two shilohs over here. V'Rabbonon Lehecha Ozol. V'Daniel Lehecha Ozol. But notice, not the same question. Rabbonon Lehecha Ozol means after the story of Hanani, Mishael, Vazari, where did they themselves go? Daniel, Heichanos, it's a little bit tricky. It means, where was Daniel? Koidem Amais. Amar Rav, Rav said, and this Machlekes Amiram, by the way, is mamish fascinating. Rav said, L'michre Nahari Rabbe B'Tveria. He went to dig a big river in Tveria. Shmuel Amashmuel says, L'asui Yebizrid Aspasta. He was importing Aspasta into Bavra. Rabbi Yechon says, L'asui Chazirid Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. He was importing Alexandrian hogs to Babylonia. Now, he wasn't doing this because he was trying to be Mekayim Torah V'Gdula B'Malkam Echad. He was doing this because he was working for Nebuchadnezzar. He had a job. Now, why is there a Machlikas Amiram? What the job was? I don't know. Whatever Rav says, A, Shmuel seems to say B, right? It's just the way it is. But Rav says he's digging something in Tveria. Shmuel says, no, he's importing Aspasta. And Rabbi Yochanan says he was importing Chazerim from Alexandria Shalman's Rhyme. Any one second. Rabbi Yochanan, he was importing pigs from Alexandria Shalman's Rhyme. Vatanya, we learned to the Brice. Now, what would you expect the Kasha to be? Importing pigs? What a yid? That's not the Kasha. Tudus Haroifa Amar, Tudus the Roifa said, ain't part of a Chazir Yoitzim Alexandria Shalman's Rhyme. By the way, it seems like from this Brice, so that Tudis wasn't just a roife, he wasn't just a doctor, he was also a veterinarian. Because he said, ain't part of a chazir, yoitz malzan shal mitzrayim, a parra and a chazir, don't leave Alexandria, shein choyt cheno imchala. Before they removed the Alexandrians, they removed the womb of the mother, bishvil shaloi teilet, to make sure that it's not going to have a child. And the reason they used to do this was, is to control the supply and demand. They wanted to control the economy, right? This is like OPEC 101. So they want to control the output, and this is something they used to do, to make sure that people that are going to buy these hogs, they won't be able to breed them. So like this, if you're going to want to buy, you're going to have no choice. You're going to have to buy it from them. So what's the kasha? The kasha is that if Daniel is importing these hogs, presumably he's doing that to breed. You can't breed them. So why would he be doing this? So the Gemara says, Zutri, Aisi Beloy Datayo. He wasn't importing them. We're using the word importing loosely. He was smuggling them. That's really what was happening, right? Bypassing all the tariffs and making sure that they were going to somehow make it through the shores. But the bottom line is, that's really what was going on. And Hanami, he was taking little ones, and he was making sure that the customs chevra weren't going to find them. Tanu Rabbanon, Shlayu Shahayu, but it's Eitza. There were three people that were there. But Eitza, which Eitza? The Eitza to make sure that Daniel would be out on a business trip somewhere to not be part of the Nisayan of Hanani, Mishael, Vazari. So who were the three that were involved? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who said, Nezel Daniel Mehoch, I don't want Daniel to be here. Because Daniel, I know, is not going to bow down. And what's going to happen is, it's not going to be Hanani, Mishael, Vazari. It's going to be Hanani, Mishael, Vazari with Daniel. And they're going to get saved. And everyone's going to say, oh, it's in the Schus of Daniel. Oh, you see who Daniel was. They're going to say it was in the Schus of Daniel, is Daniel, right? So it's going to be in his Schus. So no one's going to attribute anything to Hanani, Mishael, Vazari. And they just want Hanani, Mishael, Vazari to get covered from this. But Daniel, Daniel was also in the Eitz. I mean, he also wanted to leave. He said, "Ezel Mayacha, let me leave. Because he thought he was maybe not going to be saved. And the reason was not because he doesn't have a tachlin in HaKadosh Baruch. Of course he did. But Nebuchadnezzar used to worship Daniel as a getchka. And the Pasuk says, "Psile Eloiheim, Tisra fun Be'esh." And he thought that if he gets thrown into a fire, that Pasuk would be Niskayim, and it would override all the other cheshbonos, he would end up dying. Nebuchadnezzar, Rama Nebuchadnezzar said, I also have to make sure Daniel's not here. Yezel Daniel Mehacho, Deloy Lemer, people shouldn't say, Kalyo Le'elohei Benura. People shouldn't say that I took my Avodah Zarah and I threw it into a fire. Uminayim the Sagat, right? How do you know that Nebuchadnezzar used to worship Daniel? The it's a Pasuk. Daniel, this is what we need, Sigid. So Nebuchadnezzar is falling on his face. Ule Daniel, Sigid, he's bowing down, he's literally worshiping Daniel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Daniel shouldn't be there because they're going to attribute the miracle to Daniel. Daniel said, let me get out of here. Why? Because maybe it's going to be Niskayim and me, Psile Elei And Nebuchadnezzar said, what's it going to look like? I take my Avodah Zarah and I throw it into the fire. It doesn't have such a tam. And as a result, you had here Shloisha Hayabai Seitzah, which, by the way, where else do you have Shloisha Hayabai Seitzah? Hava Neschak Malai. But here too, Shloisha Hayabai Seitzah, Zok the Gemara. So, at this time of Nebuchadnezzar, Hanan Mishal Bazaria, there were these two Nevi'im that lived amongst the Yidin, and they were Nevi'i Sheker. And their story is told in Yirmiyahu Perichav Tes. We don't have to go through the story. All we need to know is that one of them's name was Achav, and the other one was Tzidkiyo. Now, just to be abundantly clear, this Achav is not to be confused with the Achav that's enlisted in our Mishnah of Elu Sheinu Chedek Lelum Haba, that's going to be a whole sugya coming up. And this Tzidkiyo should not be confused with the last Melech Yisrael. This is Achav ben Koiloya and Tzidkiyo ben Maseya. Then Nevi'e Sheker. And the Gemara is going to tell their story. Koy Omar Hashem Tzfokis Elikei Yisrael El Achav ben Koiloya Vel Tzidkiyo ben Maseya Hanibim Lochem B'Shmi Shaker. Right? Then Nevi'e Sheker. The Pasuk says V'lukach Mehem Klolo L'chol Golos Yud Hashem B'Bavol Eimor Yisimch Hashem Ki Tzidkiyo U'Ke'echav Asher Kol Melech Bavol. So they go down in such infamy that there's an Indian of people will say Yisimcha Hashem Kitzit Kiyo Ukeechav, right? Yisimcha Lakim Kefrayim Bechemen Asher Yisimcha Hashem Kitzit Kiyo Ukeechav Asher Kolam Melech Bavel Beish. They were killed by Melech Bavel in a fire. So the Gemara says, what's the story? And it starts with a diak. Asher Kolam. Kolam means to burn, but it's not like the most typical word to use. Asher Sarfam would be the word, right? So Asher Sarfam. Asher Kolam. I'm Rabbi Yechon Mishum Meshameichat. Lamech Hasan Kikloyos. They were literally turned into toasted oats. That's what they were turned into, right? Toasted grains. They weren't just burned. They were mamish crisp. Now, what did they do wrong? Now, they're Nevi'e Sheker, right? That in of itself is a bad thing. But the pasuk seems to be moisef on that. Asher osu nevola b'Yisrael v'yina'afu es neshei reyei. Ma ovid, what did they do? Also, the gabi barti Nebuchadnezzar. They went to the door of Nebuchadnezzar. Achav amar lo, Achav told her, Achav, again, the Navi Sheker, Koyama Hashem, Hashmi el Tzidkiyah. That Hashem came to me in a Nevuah and he said that you should be Mezana with Tzidkiyah. V'Tzidkiyah amar Koyama Hashem, Hashmi el Achav. I mean, if they would have came and they would have said that Hashem said that you should be Mezana with me, so then obviously something would seem a little funny. But that's not what they did. So they came with a little bit of a tachbula. Right? Achav said with Tzidkiyah and Tzidkiyah said with Achav. So the Gemara says, Azav Amar Leilavua. She went and she told her father. Her father's Nebuchadnezzar. Amar La, so Nebuchadnezzar told his daughter, Eloi Keim Shal Elu Soine Zimohu. I know that the God of the Jews hates Nus. It can't be that this is a real Nebuah. Ki Asu L'Gabach says, the next time they come to you, Shadrinu L'Gabach. Bring them to me. When they went to her the next time, he said, you know, my father said he wants to talk to you. So he told him, who said in the Nevuah that my daughter is supposed to be Mezana with you? So he said, I asked Hanani Mishal V'Azaria, and they said they never heard of such a thing. They said, Hanani Mishal V'Azaria, okay, we probably plucked it with Hanani Mishal V'Azaria, and now Nami Nevi'e Kevasayu. L'diduloi Amalahu, l'didon Amalah. It's true, he didn't say it to Hanani Mishal V'Azaria, but he told it to us. Amalahu, so he said, I'll not be in a devdekin. Listen, you're telling me you're as great as Hanani Mishal V'Azaria, and you know, it's like a he said, Lamazay. Let's put you to the test. No, I want to test you. They said, one second. Let's slow down a little bit. Let's have a seat, right? 1 minute. You want to throw us into the fire the way you threw Hananiah, Mishael, Vazari? I just want to get this clear. Yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. He says, all right, first of all, inun tlasahava vanan train. There were three, we were two. So they maybe emerged because there's a koyach of chutam shulish, leibim heri, yinosek. We're only two. I don't know if we're going to make it out. Amalusi says, no problem. That's issue, right? I mean, that's a very, I'm going to concede the point in the negotiation. Bacharu l'choin mandabo yisa ba'adaychu. Why don't you choose a third person? And they had no choice. They got stuck. Amar, they said, Yeshua kain gadol. We want Yeshua kain gadol. Now, he was in Eretz Yisrael. So first of all, they bought themselves a little bit of time. Snavri lesi Yeshua, but not just that. Yeshua kain gadol has grace to schosim, and they assume that if he's going to come, that for sure going to be saved. Achtenu, achseyuhu, they brought Yeshua Kohen Gadol down, Shadinu, and they threw the three of them into the fire. So Achav, Tzidkiyo, these two Nevi'e Sheker, together with Yeshua Kohen Gadol, they're all in the fire now. Inu Iklu, They, as an Achav and Tzidkiyo, were burnt. Yeshua Kohen Gadol ichrichu money. His clothing got like a little, I mean, he had to send a suit to the cleaners, but other than that, he emerged fine. Says the Gemara, Shenema, how do we know all this? The Pasuk says, Vayareini es Yeshua HaKohen HaGadol oymeid lifnei Malach Hashem. The Pasuk says, Vayareini Hashem alasot yiga Hashem b'chav v'chulu haloi ze ud mutzul meyesh. Oh, as Ayid versus a mutzul meyesh. Right, the Holocaust survivors were referred to as a ud mutzul meyesh. He's a survivor. Which fire did he survive? This is the rest of the story. I know that you're a tzaddik. So he says, I'm like just a little bit curious. Meaning, I saw Hananya Shalva Azari. They made it out perfect. They didn't even have to send, right? Their shirt was perfectly starched. How come you came dirty? Like, it looks like the fire had some ashpa on you, right? Why did it work? So he told him, like, and Hananya Shalva Azari, like, Hanibu Klab, but nothing happened. So he told him, Inu Tlosa Havavan Nochad. He said, they were three and I was one. Amalev Avram Yachid Hava. Avram Avinu was a Yachid, right? So Avram Avinu was a Yachid, and Avram Avinu, nothing happened to. So he said, Hasam Lehavi Risham Baday. Now Avram Avinu was by himself in the fire. So because he was by himself in the fire, so there was no real Midas Adin here, because Avram Avinu is a tzaddik, the fire is not going to be mashpi on him, and there's no other Risham that it is going to be mashpi on. Midiv Loi Isyehiv Rishus Lenura. The fire didn't have any Rishus to do its thing. Abahach Avi Risham Baday. But I was together with Risham, Isyehiv Rishus Lenura. And once the fire had a Koch mashpi, so it nailed me a little bit as well. Hainu Dam Rinchi. This is like a makar to a saying that people say, Trei udi yeveshi v'chad retiva. If you have two dry things and one is wet, oikton yeveshi l'retiva. Even though the one that's wet, like the wet branch, really the fire shouldn't be able to get hold up. But if there's two dry ones, so once the fire starts doing its thing and it starts being mashbia and consuming the dry ones, it's going to get the moist one. It says, it sounds like it was a punishment, the fact that the fire got him a little bit. If he didn't deserve a punishment, he wouldn't have been punished. Right? He rationalized it. But at the end of the day, on a premium level, he must have deserved it on some level. So what's the reason that Yeshua Kohen Gadol was punished? So Gemara Amar Rapapa said, Shayubon of Noisim Noshim, She'enon Hagunis, Lakuna V'lai Micha Behen. It's because his daughters, Yeshua Kohen Gadol's daughters, were marrying people that were not Hagunis Likahuna, Isha Zaino Chalala, right? Marrying Grusha, women that they were not allowed to marry. He wasn't Meicha, so he had a little bit of that chet. In fact, this is already a chazal. Shenema v'Yeshua ha'yolavish begadim tzayin. The pasuk says that Yeshua was wearing begadim tzayin. V'chitarku shal Yeshua lubash begadim tzayin. Elam namet shayibanim noisim nashim. She'enin agunis l'kuhuna v'loi micha behem. Zok de Gemara. More about Hananya Mishal v'Azariah in the context of digression. Amar Rab Tanchum. Rab Tanchum said, Darush Bar Kapara b'tzipayri. Bar Kapara said the following drash in tzipayri. My dixiv was from the pasuk that says, She'es shasa oirim ha'elo nasan li. So the context over here is Rus goes to Bayas, and Bayas gives Rus 6 barleys. Says the Gemara, my sheisha sa'irim. 6 barleys, ele meshesh sa'irim mamish. Literally 6 barleys, like 6 kernels. Vichidarko ishal boyas lite matana sheish sa'irim. Who would give somebody a matana like that? Ela sheish sa'in. Maybe it means like a huge shear. 6 sa'in of barley. Of vichidarko ishal isha little sheish sa'in. That's already too much. Ela remez ramasla. Must be there was some remez over here. Shasidim shisha banam latzeis mimena. That Ruth, one day, would have 6 descendants that would come from her, all of whom would be gebenched with 6 brachas. So 6 bonim, each of which that are going to get 6 brachas. The Elohim. Who are the 6 bonim? David, Umashiach, Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Vazari. And the Gemara demonstrates. David, what's the makar of David? It says in the Pasuk, so the context over here is Shol HaMelech, the Pasuk says, was very sad. He was depressed. And he needed somebody to come play music, right? There was such an Indian. So Shol HaMelech was in a place where he was depressed. So Doigo Adoimi comes, and he tells him, Hine ro'isi ben li'isha beis halachmi. You know, Yisha, he has a son, lives in Beis Halechem. He's Yodea Nage. He knows how to play the harp beautifully. V'gibar Chayil. He's a mighty warrior. V'ish Mulchama. U'nevoin Davar. V'ish Toyar. V'Hashem Ima. He says the Gemara. I'm Rav. You know my rap. You descend the name of Rav. Kala Pasuk Zeli. I'm Doyik El B'Lashon Hara. When Doyik came to tell this to Shaul, he was coming to Chepa. It was Lashon Hara. Right? He was trying to get Shaul jealous of this young lad, of this son of Yishai. That's David HaMelech. And in fact, when he said these things, he didn't even mean those things. He meant something way more significant. What could be more significant? This sounds like quite the resume, right? Your day and Nagin, Gibor Chayil, Ishmo Chama, Nevoim Dover, Vish Toya, Vashem Imoy, of all Yiddish Kindlech Gesucht. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you what could be more. Yodea Nagin needs Sheyodea Lishol. He knows how to ask a good Kasha. He knows how to ask a Rabbi Kireyuz Akasha. Gibor, Sheyodea Leheshiv. He knows how to answer. Ishmo Chama, Sheyodea Lisa Velitim, Ben Melchantishol Toya. Ish Toya, what does that mean? He's handsome. Shemaru Panam Alochi makes the Torah look beautiful. Unevoim Dover, Shemavin Dover, Mitech Dover. Vashem Imoy, Shalach. Every time that Dayak said one of these shvachim about Shaul, he says, no, I hear very nice. My son Yonis is the same way. But keeping the Amalei Vashem Imoy. But when he said Vashem Imoy, that means Halacha Kamoise B'chamokin. That was a milsad of the day. Not only did his son Yonis not have it, but he himself didn't have it. Chalash Daite, all of a sudden, Chalich Sadas, Vikanybe, he got jealous. And that was what Dayak Adami was trying to do. A lot more about Dayak coming up in the Perek, but that's what Dayak was trying to do, and that was the Lashon Hara of Dayak. The Bishol Ksiv. Now, how do you know that Shalom Melech couldn't be Mechavin Lamita Shal Dover with David Melech could? Because by Shal it says, B'chol HaShayifna Yarshia. Pashtun means he won all his battles. Oh, B'chol HaShayifna Yarshia, but when it came to learning Yarshia, he couldn't get it right. U'B'David Ksiv, U'B'chol HaShayifna Yatzliach, he was always Mechavin to the Halacha. Now, we know the Dayak Kava. We said that Dayak is the one who gave this report. That's not what it says, right? Doesn't say anything. It just says, Vayan Echod Mehanorim. Said, you know, it was Dayak. So the Mar says, Ksiv Halcha Vayan Echod Mehanorim. And what does Echod mean? Right? What is the word? As a keveso Echod. Ha miyuchit shebe edre. The word Echod sometimes means the best. Miyuchit shebe norim. So it means that the finest of David HaMelech's, of Shaul HaMelech's lads, he's the one that gave this report. Now, who's the finest of his chevro? Ksiv Hasam. It's a pasuk. Vesham ish me avde shol vayema hu netzel lefne Hashem. Ushmoy Dayago adoimi abir haroyin asher l'shol. What does abir haroyin mean? He's the chief shepherd. Right, he's the CSO, chief shepherd officer or something. But either way, he is the chief shepherd. That's his Indian. He's the Abir Haroyan. Oh, so he is the Meyuchet Sheben Arim. That's how you know it was him. Either way, you see from here that David, who we know came from Rus, that's easy, but also that he was gebenched with six brachas. Now, how do you know he's gebenched with six brachas? That's the pasuk. He's a Yoidea Nagin. He's a Gibar Chayil. He's an Ishmael Chama. He's an Avoyin Dover, he's an Ishtayev, Hashem Imoy. So there's your number six, Mashiach. Now, the fact that Mashiach comes from Rus, that we know, David Malka Mashiach, right? Mashiach comes from Malka's Beis David. So if David comes from Rus, it's back at the envelope of arithmetic. But where do you see the six brachas? Ksiv Enocha, Olav Ruach Hashem, Ruach Chochma Uvina, Ruach Eitza Ugvura, Ruach Das, V'yiris Hashem. Now, if you count it up, so what does the pasuk say? V'nocha Olav Ruach Hashem, 1, Ruach Chachma is 2, Uvinas 3, Eitzas 4, Gvuras 5, Das is 6, Firas Hashem is 7. So if you take a look at Rashi, and the Marshal explains Rashi, that Vinocha all of Ruach Hashem is hyphen chloe, right? Ruach Hashem, what's the taich of Ruach Hashem? There's Chachma, there's Bina, there's Eitzah, there's Gvur, there's Das, Firas Hashem, and those are really the six brachas. Now the Pasuk says on the topic of Mashiach, V'harichoi b'yiras Hashem. Omar Rabbi Alexandri, what does that mean? V'harichos. Rabbi Alexandri said, "Melamit shehetinoi mitzvos v'yisurim kirechayim." That Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to make Mashiach do mitzvos, but he's also going to give him yisurim, and the yisurim are going to be daimet torichayim. So if somebody has to work a windmill, right? We're not farmers, but if you had to, apparently that's very, very arduous labor, and that's something that Mashiach's going to have to do. The Marsha says, "Uda Omar Rabbi Alexandri shehetinoi mitzvos v'yisurim rotzol loymar shehetinoi mitzvos shebaz zochol." Mashiach has to do mitzvahs if he wants to be the goyel. Gam hetino yisurim. He also gave him yisurim. Liz by lavoinos yisrael. On some level, to carry and be mechaper for the sins of the yidden. Kedamina lekamam bepirkin. We spoke at the Gemara in the first half of Perek Chelek, that we see that what is Mashiach doing? He's a chayla and he sits by the Shahr of Rome and he has his bandages. But one of the images, one of the inyanim that you find about Mashiach is he does mitzvahs, but also he does mitzvahs mitaychatchak, he does mitzvahs in a matzv of Yisurim. And said the Gemara, Omer of Alexandri, that's what it means, v'haricha b'yiris Hashem, it's miloshin rechayim. So then the Marsha adds that a rechayim is very, very difficult labor. But what happens after you toichein? Eventually you have to do it the pass, right? You have Yud Beis Chalas when it comes Shabbos. So too, Mashiach is going to suffer, but it's going to lead, of course, to the Gula. Rav has had a different shot. The Meirich V'don. You want to know what it means by Richa B'Yiras Hashem? It means the Meirich V'don. That there's a musig that Mashiach's going to be able to sniff. And by sniffing, he's going to be able to judge. And it's a pasuk. It says, "Right, when Mashiach is going to judge, he's not going to do it in the typical way. He's not going to do it the way other people do it. How's he going to do it? with the spiritual sense of smell. Right, that's a rabbi. With the spiritual sense of smell, that's how he's going to do this. By the way, just hit me now. It's Pashit. Rava's Lashitasai. Rava holds Chamra Virechani Pikchin, right? We always talk about the wine component of Rava. What about the Rechani Pon? This is Rava Lashitasai. The Meirach Vadav. We have to start finding now all the inyanim about Rava and Rechani, right? But the bottom line is Pashit. Rava Amar, Rava said, the Meirach Vadav. Says on that note. Bar Koiziva Malach Tarkin Shnenu Palga. Bar Koichva was king for 2.5 years. Bar Koichva, Bar Koichva fame. Amar Rabbanon. He told Rabbanon, I'm not Mashiach. Ich bin Mashiach. Amar they told him, the Mashiach, Ksiv the Meirach Vadav. What's a you Mashiach? It says regarding Mashiach, you have to be a Meirach Vadav. Nechsi Anani Meirach Vadav. Let's see. Could you smell and pass in the Shai? Look, give me the Ksiv the Meirach Vadav. When they saw that he didn't have the ability to be a Meirach Vadav, Kotlu, they went ahead and they killed him. I want to come up for breath for a second, Mamish. Mamish, just 1 second. So here you have three lines. This is the story of Bar Koichva. Right? This is the story of Bar Koichva. We mentioned that Mashiach is supposed to be a Meirach Vadav. Bar Koiziva Malach Tartin Shinu Palga. There are told the Rabbanan, I'm Mashiach. They said, really? You're Mashiach? Let's see. Could you be a Meirach Vadav? Kun paskin, boom, kablu, they went ahead and they killed him. Really, these few lines of Gemara is enei oime ela darsheni, for a few reasons. Number one, it sounds like the Yidden killed Bar Koichva. It's not the history. The history is that he was killed by the Romans. He died in battle. That's not how Bar Koichva was killed. Also, Bar Koichva says, ich bin Mashiach. Give a schmeck. He didn't have the Rechani Pikchen, and as a result, this is a raya. Right? It's very, very funny. The truth is, if you look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel Bar Koiziva, Rashi says, Mimalchus Hurdas Haya. Rashi says he was from the kings of Hurdas. Now, little Jewish history. Hurdas' family reigned and ruled over the Jews for the last 103 years of Bayesheni. When did Bar Koichva live? He lived in the year 120, 130. He lived in the years, in the times of Rabbi Akiva already. This is 50, 60 years noch the Churban. So what does that mean? He's Mimalche Hurdas Haya. It's a Medrash Pliya. If you look at the Maseiros HaShas, it says, Tzorich Loimer Acher Malche Hurdas. You have to say noch Malche Hurdas. It's a little bit dachuk. If you look at the Yad Ramah says Mefurish, he was a Melech Bizman Bayesheni. He's a Melech Bizman Bayesheni. That's not the Bar Koziva that we know. It's not Bar Koichva. He's a king all these years later. It came as a result of Beitar, the Gansa Maisa. So what's Pashub Shah? What's going on over here? So the emissary is, the Pashta seems that the Rishonim didn't want him to be Bar Koichva because the Taka doesn't stim with everything that we know about Bar Koichva. So it must be somebody else. And this person was claiming he was Mashiach. They told him to be Meirach Vadayin. He couldn't do it for Kotlu. They ended up killing him. But I'll tell you a Dover Nifla that I saw in the Margolis Sayyam. Number one, he says, if you take a look in the Yalkut Shemoyni, in Sefer Shmuel, so over there you have the whole Gemara we have, Hanani Mishol Vazari, everything is playing itself out over there in Sefer Shmuel. And the Gemara even brings this postscript over here. Ki hod bar koziva, malach, tartin shnin upalga, amr luhud rabbanan anama shicha, amr leib mashicha ksiv v'harichai, umariach v'da'in. Period. It doesn't say v'katlu. In Yalkut Shemoyni, it doesn't say v'katlu. And he says, yoysen nir al derech, and this is for sure the Pashem Shah, that it's not v'katlu. He ended up getting killed. They maybe allowed him, they facilitated him to get killed. But he says, take a look at Yalkut Shemoyni. It says, mamish l'shoyin shel chazal, without that last word, the kotlu, which of course stims much better with everything that we know about Bar Koichva. Now, by the way, I just want to be clear. When I say everything we know about Bar Koichva, I don't mean the story of Flavius Josephus, who wasn't even alive at that point. It's not what I'm referring to. I'm talking about chazal. And really, the story of Bar Koiziva, the real story of Bar Koichva, is mentioned in the fourth parak. It's in Yerushalmi Masechtas Tainis. The whole story of Bar Koichva is mentioned in Yerushalmi. It says before that the Romans killed him, right? That's where the mutch is coming from. It's not coming from, oh, because all the historians, I don't care what the historians say. I mean, the Rambam says, Hilchos Malachim, but it's Pasha, it comes from a Yerushalmi. It's the Mefurish Chazal that he was killed. He was Nerag bin Mocham. But I'll tell you, Mamish, this is such a Dover Nifl. It's so Pasha, but it's so classic, Rav Reuven Margolis. He says like this, what is the story of how Bar Koichva was killed? So we have a long great bite on this in the Sugi of Kamtza Bar Kamtza. I think it's called Churban Beitar. But it's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says like this. Yerushalmi says that Hadrian the Great, Adarionis, he laid siege on Beitar, which ultimately was destroyed as a result of the failed Bar Koichva revolution. But he laid siege for 3.5 years, and he couldn't penetrate. And the reason he couldn't penetrate is because there was a Yid, a Tzadik, a Tana, we've all heard of him, Rabbi Loza HaMoidoi. And he was Yoshev al-Asak, Falo Efer, u'mispalo b'chol yoyim. Va'oymer, and he said, Riboy no yilobim, al-teisha b'din ha-yoyim, al-teisha b'din ha-yoyim. And every single day he davened, and because of his tefillas, he was able to prevent this terrible din from coming about. Either way, there was a kuti that chapped what was going on. He chapped that the reason Hadrian is not successful in his siege is because of this Yid, Rabbi Loza HaMoidoi. So he goes back to Hadrian, and he tells him, I have a little bit of information. I think I have a way for you to be able to take down the Jews. He said, there's this one person who's praying. It's his prayers that are preventing you from being successful in what you're trying to do. Let me handle this. So this Kuti goes, and he whispers nothing into the ear of Rabbi Elazar Medai. He didn't whisper anything to him, saying that on purpose. He looked like he was whispering something, but he went over to him, you know, he moved his lips a little bit, and he told him a secret, but he really didn't say a word. And he did it in a way where the chevra were going to see what was going on. In the meantime, the people that witnessed this go over to the queen. He says, what did you just tell Rabbi Elazar? He says, I can't tell. He says, wait, he says, if I tell you, they're going to kill me. He says, tell me what happened. So he says, okay, I have no choice. I'm going to have to tell you. He said that I want you to know Rabbi Elazar Medai. I just recruited him to be a spy. And as a result, he's going to now work on behalf of Hadrian. He's not Mishalochem anymore. He's Mishali. But please don't repeat this, because if you repeat this, I'm dead. Hadrian's going to kill me. I can't do this under... This is something that stays between us. Immediately they go and they call Rabbi Elazar Medai. They say, Rabbi Elazar Medai, what did the Kuti tell you? He didn't say a word to me. He says, what did he tell you? We saw him whisper. He says he whispered nothing at Keplopet. He didn't say a word. And what did you respond? He said, I go to Bar Kochva. He goes to Bar Kochva. Bar Kochva looks at him. Bar Kochva says, I don't trust you. Yav lechad ba'oit. He gave him one kick. Bar Kochva kicked Rabbi Elazar Medai. V'katle. And he killed Rabbi Elazar Medai. Miyad yotzes Abaskol. Abaskol came out and quoted a pasuk in Zechariah. I'll skip the pasuk. It says, Haraktos Rabbi Elazar Medai. Zeroyen shal Yisrael. Ve'en yaminam. Lefichach zeroy shal oysaya ish. Yavosh tivosh. Ve'en yaminay koy sichtem. Miyad. Immediately after Bar Kochva killed Rabbi Elazar Medai, Nilketa Bebekar, Minerik Ben Koziva, and he went ahead and he was killed. This is the story. This is the story that the Yerushalmi tells of how Rabbi Elazar Medai was killed. Said Rabbi Ruvar Margolis, the two Gemaras are the same Gemaras. What happened? They brought Rabbi Elazar Medai to Bar Kochva, and they told him he's a traitor. He said he's a traitor. He's working for the enemy. And he looked at him. Rabbi Elazar said, it's not true. And he went and he said, you know something? I don't trust Rabbi Elazar Medai. I think that Kuti is telling the truth. He smelled out the story and he got it wrong. And they chap that if you're not able to be Meirich V'doyen because you botched Rabbi Elazar Medai and you didn't chap that he's telling the emes, must be you're not the real thing. And Klal Yisrael backed off of Bar Kochva. And the minute they backed off of Bar Kochva, miyad nilket abeitar. That's what happened. He sucked Rabbi Ruvar Margolis. It's push it. This one little Gemara right here, it's Sanhedrin of Meirich V'don, the rest of it. He says it with such a pashtus. It's so emes and it's so pasha once you hear it. But only once you hear it. Either way, this is a little bit the rest of the story. Regardless, we still have a little bit more Gemara to learn. Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Vazari. So again, we're talking about Rus's six descendants, all of whom were gebenched with six brachas, and now we're up to Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Vazari. Says the Gemara, the Chesibu, it says regarding them, Asha im bohem kol mum, v'toyvei mara, u'maskilim b'chal chachma, v'yoydei das, u'mavina mada, v'asha koich bem lami, v'heichel ha-melech, l'olam dem sefer, l'shoy kazdem. These are all the milas that they have. Now, if you count it up, it feels like it was a little bit more than six. So Rashi tells you which six they are. It's Achav Eimbem Kol Mum, V'toyvei Mara, Maskilim B'chol Chochma, Yoydei Das, Umevinei Mada, V'asher Koich Behem. Those are the six. Says the word, my Achav Eimbem Kol Mum. What does it mean they didn't even have a mum? Amr Rab Chama, Rab Chanino, Afilu Kirivda De Kosilta Lehavabahu. It means they were never even punctured by a bloodletter. My V'asher Koich Behem, Lamed Behechel HaMelech. What does it mean that they had the koyach, they had the stamina, right? That's the English word. To stand in the presence of the king and the heichal melech. Amr abcham rab chanin, but lamet shayo insin es asam v'naschoik v'nasich v'nashenu. It means that they would stand literally and overcome all the emotions they had. They wouldn't laugh, they wouldn't talk, they wouldn't sleep. Umamidin latz b'shoshin tzrachim l'nekfei. Even if they had to go to the bathroom, they were able to hold themselves back. The imas malchus, it was because of the aim of the king. Vahi behem ibnei Yehuda Daniel Chanani Mishael Vazaria. Amr rab Elazar kulam ibnei Yehuda hem. They were all from Bnei Yehuda. Rab Shmuel bar Nachmeni yama Daniel ibnei Yehuda. Daniel was taken from the Bnei Yehuda. But as relates to Hanani, Mishael Vazaria, they were not from the Bnei Yehuda, they were from the Shar Shvatim, and Rashi speaks out. If that's the case, you have to say that Rav Shmuel Nachmeni argues with Bar Kappar. The top of the Yom of Yadarish Bar Kappar, he said six descendants of Rus, all of whom were Zoycha, to six brachis. That's only true if you hold the Hanani Mishael Vazaria, Taka were from Yehuda. But if you hold the Hanani Mishael Vazaria, were not from Yehuda, then it's only Daniel, then it's not going to work either way. As it relates to raid, now these dafin are just straight raid, but lemaisa, as it relates to raid, we're learning dvarim ha'imdim beruma shaloyvam. We're holding here in the sugya of kol yisrael yeshlam chelik loyvam haba ve'elu she'elam chelik loyvam haba ha'imer ein tchias ha'meisim v'natayim. So we spoke previously about the Shitas HaRambam. The Shitas HaRambam, as it relates to understanding what exactly the end of days and Olam Haba are. And again, the introduction to this whole shmooze was that when we think of Achris HaYomim, so there's a whole bunch of different ideas that seem to conflate. You have Yemoisa Mashiach, you have Tchias HaMesim, you have Olam Haba, you have Gan Eden, you have Shis Alfi Shnin V'Chad Choruch. And to us, it's all the end of days, and there's an Indian of Ayin Le'Ras Elikim Zulascha, and we're looking forward, Be'ez HaShem, to the day where it's going to be Umal Aretz Day, and we're going to finally be potter from the Bitter Galus. But in terms of what everything means, it's not something that we know. And the truth is, there is an Indian of Ayin Le'Ras Elikim Zulascha, and we're not supposed to know. And we're not supposed to ponder it too much either. But at the same time, we're learning the sugya right now, and I think that just having a little bit of clarity in these inyanim can be very, very helpful. So again, we went through the Shitas HaRambam, which is in Perek Ches and Perek Tes in Hilchas Tshuva. It's also in his Hakdamah to Perek Chelek, and it's also in his Maimer Tchias HaMeisim, where the Rambam says as follows. The Rambam says that the Tachlis of everything is to one day merit a portion of the world to come. The world to come, Olam Haba, says the Rambam, is a world where this Chayim She'en Imohem Moves and this Toiva She'en Imara. It's utopia. It's chayim with no mothers. And it's toiv with no ra. And really, that is the ultimate. The ultimate is for a person to work hard in this world and to be zoicha to the toivah hatzvuna letzadikim, which is chayi oylem haba. And the ultimate oynish, says the Rambam, is for a person not to be zoicha to that. The ultimate oynish is not gehenim, it's not being punished. The ultimate oynish is to not be zoicha to oylem haba, which the Rambam says is kores. He kores by oylem hazet, he kores oylem haba. What does it mean to kores oylem haba? It means being cut off in the next world, not being allowed entry, not being zoicha. Then the Rambam said, so what exactly is oylem haba? So the Rambam says, oylem haba in by gufu gviya. There's no body, there's no gviya. Ela nafshe satzadikim bovad, beloy guf, kamalachi ashois. And the Rambam says, if there's no guf in oylem haba, that means all the physical pleasures don't exist as well. There's no achila, there's no shtia, there's no tashmish, all the different things that people do in this world don't exist in the next world, because those are all physical things, and in the next world, there's no physicality. All it is an oylem haneshamas. And the Rambam says, by the way, Shema teko b'yinecha toivazu. Maybe you're going to say, I mean, there's no guf, and you don't have all the taivas that a person can have in this world, so why am I looking forward to it? Why is it such a big deal? So the Rambam says that if you think that, you're not a wise person. Because the emes is the toiva that svuna letzadikim is so much greater than any anon, any pleasure that a person could possibly have in this world. Now, we can't describe it. And the reason we can't describe it is because we're balei guf. And the Rambam in Lashoni Azov says that if you were going to try to describe to a person, Olam Haba, it would be like trying to describe colors to a person that can't see or music to a person that can't hear. It's not possible. If you don't have the chushim to be masigit, so how are you supposed to be masigit? But in reality, says the Rambam, you want to know what Olam Haba is. Olam Haba is an oylem haneshama. He says no guf gviya. There's no achila v'shtiya. All it is nafshes hatzadikim. He says tzadikim yoishvim v'atoreseim v'rashem v'nenem is v'ashchina. These are all mishalim, not things that we can really, really understand. But at the same time, this is the greatest toiv that a person could possibly have. Then the Rambam says, okay, so if the tachlis is oylem haba, so what's yimayis haMashiach? Right. So what's yimayis haMashiach? What's that all about? What is yimayis haMashiach? The tachlis is oylem haba. Oylem haba is an oylem haneshama. Moisa Mashiach is not Oilam HaNeshamos. In fact, in bein Oilam HaZeh, the Moisa Mashiach, Elo Shibud Malchias Bovat. We're all waiting for Mashiach. It's one of the Yud Gimel Animamins. Achakulei B'chol Yom Sheyava. Right? It's going to be the greatest time. So what is it? If it's not the Tachlis, it's not Oilam Haba, so where do you place it? Like, what exactly is it? So the Rambam says a Chiddush. The Rambam says, you want to know what the Moisa Mashiach is? It's going to be a time where Yidden are not going to have pressures, and it's going to be a time where Yidden are going to be able to focus on learning and doing mitzvahs. As a result, they'll be able to acquire more Olam Haba. Yemos HaMashiach is going to be a zman that's going to be mesugal for a person to be able to acquire Olam Haba. In fact, the Rambam says, Yemos HaMashiach is no different than all the zmanim and the Yehudei HaTorah. So when the Torah talks about the different zmanim, where if you're going to do the right thing, and all the brachas that you're going to have, all of that is about facilitating and allowing the yid to be able to do more Torah mitzvahs, schar mitzvah mitzvahs like this, you'll be zoicha to a chel g'nai l'mabah. That's essentially what your Moshe HaMashiach is going to be. It's going to be the greatest manifestation of all the brachas that the Torah talks about that a person's going to be zoicha to in the event he's going to do the right thing. But you want to know if it's the tachlis? It's not the tachlis. And this is really a very, very brief summary of the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva Perikhes and Periktes. It's interesting that in Perek Ches and Perek Tes and Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam doesn't mention a word about Gan Eden, and the Rambam doesn't mention a word about Tchias HaMesem. He talks about what Olam Haba is, and he bavarns Yemois HaMashiach, and he shtals it to all the Yehudei HaTorah, all the different brachas that the Torah talks about in different places. That's what the Zman of Yemois HaMashiach is. It's a chetimtza, it's a time where it's mesugal for a person to be able to merit more Olam Haba. But in terms of Gan Eden, the Rambam didn't say a word. In terms of Tchias HaMesem, the Rambam also didn't say a word. But Divrei HaRambam are Aniyim B'Makom Echad and they're Ashirim B'Makom Echad. The Rambam is Achdamah D'Perek Chelik. He does talk about Gan Eden. And he says Gan Eden is a place, it's a physical place, like the Rishonim say in Parshas Bereishis, that's Yerubinus Gala B'Soif HaYomim. Meaning, presumably around the time of Yemos HaMashiach, it's going to be then that Gan Eden is going to be Neskala. It's going to be a place of Tainuk. And during that time, the tzaddikim that are going to be alive are going to be able to have anah. What's Tchias HaMesim? Tchias HaMesim is the same thing. During that kufa, the mesim, the tzaddikim, the Rambam says, are going to come back to life. But says the Rambam, even though there's going to be Gan Eden, and even though there's going to be Tchias HaMesim, and even though there's going to be Yemos HaMashiach, that's not the tachlis. The tachlis is the Olam HaNeshamah, the Olam HaBa. Now, one second, if it's not the tachlis is the Olam HaBa, so why are they there? Says the Rambam, they're only there for a transient period of time. But all these people are going to die. They're going to leave the world. And when they leave the world, they're going to go back to the Olam HaNeshamas. As if to say, tzaddikim now that are in Olam Haba, kol Yisrael yeshlam chelek l'Olam Haba. And then Mashiach's going to come, there's going to be Tchias HaMesim, the tzaddikim are going to come back to life. But after they're going to come back to life, they're eventually going to die again. In other words, if you think about it a little bit, the Rambam saying that when Mashiach comes, Olam Hazeh is going to continue to exist. There's going to be a Hemshech of Olam Hazeh. There's also going to be Olam Haba. That's also going to continue to exist. Right now, in the world of the Rambam, there's Olam Hazeh and there's Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh, that's where we are. Anshei Shleimenu. Olam Haba, that's where people go after they leave this world. When Mashiach comes, those two worlds will continue to exist side by side, simultaneously. There's going to be an Olam Hazeh, and there's going to be an Olam Haba. Now, the Olam Hazeh is going to be a different Olam Hazeh. It's going to be an Olam Hazeh with Yemos HaMashiach, where it's going to be Neskala Gan Eden, where there's going to be Tzadikim Fifriya de Gedoris, there's going to be Tchias HaMesim. But the point is that there's going to be Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. And just like now, a person that's an Olam Hazeh at some point will die and he's going to go to Olam Haba, which is the Tachlis. In that new world, it's going to be the same thing. In that Hemshech of the world, the way we have it right now, it's going to be the same exact thing. There's going to be an element of Olam Kimin Hagai Hoylech, albeit with these incredible supernatural knaches, but at the same time, that world will continue to exist. People are going to die, and after they die, they're going to go to Olam Haba, which is where people go when they die, Bizman Hazeh. Just to bring out one sentence in the Rambam to make the point. When the Rambam talks about Mashiach in his Akdamah Techeluk, he says, V'hamashiach yomus. Mashiach's going to die. Mashiach's going to die. Yeah, Mashiach's going to die. V'yimloich b'noyu ben b'noy. And then his son and his grandson. V'simoshech malchusoy meshech zman otzum ma'oid. And the malchus is going to go on for a very, very long time. V'yarchu gam yimei chayeyem. And people are going to live longer, etc., etc. But really, this is something that's going to go on a long time. The Eimle Hispali, says the Rambam, should this guy in Malchusei Alfei Shonim, thousands and thousands of years. I'll bring it out even sharper. The Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim, and this is in Chelik Beis, it's Perek Chof Tes. So he quotes Aristotle, Kedarke Bakoidish, he quotes Aristoi, that Aristoi believed Sha'olam Eimle Katmai, right? He was the ultimate Koifer of Friya de Gedairis, and Aristoi believed Sha'olam Eimle Katmai. Sha'olam Eimle Katmai. And the Rambam says something that only the Rambam can say. He says, quote, Anu maskimim im aristoi bechatsi midaitoi. He said, Amoide ben miktas. We believe a little bit in what Aristoi said. Meaning, what does it mean, oilam ein leikadmoi? It means the world always was and the world always will be. Says the Rambam, we moide bechatsi midaitoi. Umaminim. Not she'olam ein likad mechalila. That's the tachlis of kvira. But we believe shamitzius hazois nitzchis v'tmidus b'teva hazeh shachov itzbo yisala. V'lo yishtani mimeno shum dover elo b'protim mimeno. Al derech hanes. But l'maisa, the world is always going to exist. And that's the shittas harambam. Olam hazeh is going to always go. Now, what about the Gemara that says the world's going to exist for 6,000 years v'chad charev? The Rambam addresses it in the Gemara. And the Rambam says, if we're talking about the world as being charev, that means it exists. It means it exists, because if it doesn't exist, it's not charev. And he said, not just that, 1,000 years of churban? If there's no world, there's no zman. So by definition, there's going to be a world. There's going to be a churban, and the world is going to regenerate itself. Again, it's not going to be the way we see it now. But at the same time, there's going to be a concept of oylem hazeh, oylem habah, mit haklarkai. This is the shittas harambam. So here's part two. Part two is that there was a great goyin, great Sfardish goyin. His name was Rav Meir Halevi Abu Lafya, also known as the Ramah, also known as the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah was going through the Rambam and Mishneh Torah, specifically the Rambams in Perek Ches and Perek Tes in Hilchos Teshuvah, where he saw the Rambam's depiction of L'Asad Lavay and the end of days, and he couldn't believe what he was reading. And he decided that he has to write a letter, he has to be Moicha Keneged the Rambam, and he's writing the letter to the Chachmi Luniel. The Chachmi Luniel were the great Bezdin that was in Luniel, France, and he wrote a letter addressing the Godol Shebahem, who was Rabbeinu Yoinesen. By the way, you see the Rishonim quote sometimes Rabbeinu Yoinesen. That's who Rabbeinu Yoinesen is. He was the leader, the Av Bezdin of the Chachmi Luniel, and he writes a letter to the Chachmi Luniel, and he says as follows. He says, I know that the Rambam is considered the Godol Adar, and I know that you've waxed poetically about the greatness of the Rambam. Everybody knows that. He said, but I was going to the Rambam, Hilchos Teshuvah, in Perek Ches and Perek Tes, and I was looking about what the Rambam wrote as it relates to Olam Haba, and it sounds to me like the Rambam does not believe that there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim. He said, I went through Perek Ches, Perek Tes, Rambam didn't say one word about Tchias HaMeisim. It sounds like there's going to be no Tchias HaMeisim. Rambam's talking about Olam Haba. Yeah, of course, he believes in Olam Haba. But he says clearly that Olam Haba doesn't involve the guf. In by guf, u'gviyah, there's no achil of ishtiyah, right? It's nafshes ha-tzadikim buvad. That's what it is. And said, the Yad Ramah, Rabbeinu Dal Makula. I don't understand. Learn the first few dafin and Perek Chelik. It's so obvious that there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim. And not just that, read the Gemara. It's so obvious that it's going to be in a literal sense. Right, the Gemara talks about how they're going to get up. They're going to be wearing the Lavush. They're not going to be wearing the Lavush. Just animochat stiver, permit them, omdom, and go through every Gemara that we learned. Every single Gemara kamat is mashma that there's going to be a real physical Tchias HaMeisim. And it sounds to me like the Rambam doesn't hold of a Tchias HaMeisim. Because it sounds like the Rambam holds that, yeah, there's an Olam Haba, but he says clearly that Olam Haba is Nafshes HaTzadikim, which means there's no Guf. I Tchias HaMeisim, and it sounds like he doesn't hold Tchias HaMeisim. And he says, oh, by the way, you can say, how could you not hold Tchias HaMeisim? I know how. Because the Rambam wrote extensively in his Moira and in his Hakdama Techelik, and even mentions it a few times in Hilchos Teshuvah, that when Chazal say things in Yoni Agada, very often it's Derech Mashal V'chida. Right? That's very often what it's meant to be. So he said, I'm just connecting the dots. And I'm going to say a word about Tchias HaMeisim. The Rambam says that really Divrei Chazal are meant to be understood by Mashal V'chida. And it sounds like he understood that the whole Tchias HaMeisim was a Mashal V'chida. For what? For Olam Haba, which is really at its core an Olam HaNeshamas. And said the Yad Ramah, I don't know what to make of this. I'm mamish so taken aback. And he says, it sounds to me like the Rambam holds there's no Tchias HaMeisim for the Guf. I can't even say out of my mouth what the Yad Ramah wrote. And he says, I know the Rambam is great. I know you hold him in incredible esteem. But he says, there's no Eitzah. He says, I just don't know what to say, right? I don't know what to say. I'll just read you a few excerpts just to get a little bit of a feel, right? He's, again, saying that the Rambam seems to hold that Tchias HaMeisim is not going to be in a physical sense. See, he brings the Gemara that the Gemara says, it doesn't say, L'mayyubu yumeichav yimei v'neichem al adoma ha-shinishba Hashem la-veiseichem lo-sei slochem. It says, lo-sei slochem. It says, lo-shin is v'neina gviyois choyois Eretz Yisrael lo-melehem. If there's no guf, he says, what exactly is Eretz Yisrael? Right? He says, not just that. One of the Gemaras was, Ani omus fa'achye. Right? Kodesh Baruch says, I kill and I cause people to come back alive. Now, v'neina gviyois choyois, harei eina mechayel l'mishahemes. Right? The Gemara made a big deal about
about it. Well, what dies when a person dies? The guf. If the guf doesn't come back to life, so what's the tchis amazing? The neshama never die. So what is, where do you find Hari Eimei Mechayel Amisha Hemes? And then he says, Uma a'arich lefnei raboisai, v'atalmud mole al kol gidois of rayois, rabois, berurois, umi yishma eilav bedover azeh. Who's going to listen to him? Now he says, I understand the Gemara says that Olam Abba, there's no achil of ashtia, right? There's no achil of ashtia. So maybe the Rambam held, if there's no achil of ashtia, it must be there's no guf, right? Because if there's a guf, then by definition there have to be a chiddush shtiyah. And by the way, the Rambam says in Mefurish in his Lakdama Techelik. It's one of the arguments that the Rambam makes. But said the Yad Ramah, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo yochalti umayim lo yishasisi. El Yo Anovi. Also, so you find that there were tzaddikim. So if these tzaddikim could do it, he said, I don't understand what's the issue. He says, the Rambam held that. Now, he says, if you're going to tell me that maybe the Rambam holds, maybe you're going to tell me the Rambam really holds that there will be a Tchis HaMeisim, which, of course, we know is the truth, and afterwards, they're going to die. He says, but if that's the case, he says, it makes no sense. So what's the point of coming? He says, I mamash don't understand. And then he writes at the end, the ain't be Yisrael kamoyu. You're going to tell me there's no one like the Rambam, and you have no right to say what you're saying. Gam ata kitivrechem keinu. So zayin that you're telling the truth. Ochein ain't tfunov ain't eitzol neged hamesayif puara b'maratza. Somebody writes something like this. Alzayin nema ain't chochma ain't eitzol ain't tfunov neged Hashem. I mean, this is an old school macha, right? There were times when Gedolei Yisrael were moicha and other Gedolei Yisrael. Kido. This is like mamish davia voice in terms of that, and he's writing this about the Rambam. Either way, he sends it to the Chachmi Lonil, and then he says, "I'm begging you, please respond." And he got a response. Now, he didn't get a response from Rabbeinu Yohanesin, who was the head of the Chachmi Lonil. He got a response from one of the Chavri HaBezdin, Reb Aaron ben Reb Meshulim, and he wrote back to him as follows. Just read again a few short excerpts. Eich mi leiso lipcho lahalois al ruchacho, ledaber be'ishma alikim, ki nota levovei mitoiris alikim chayim. As if the Rambam doesn't believe in Tchias HaMeisim and the whole thing is a mashal l'chida. V'lo yamin b'chayim, ki yokitzu, v'chi yo'iru mishnosam sheikh ne'yofer, v'cholilo cholilo lohoitzi olav dibo, al zois val kayoitzeba, ki noida b'Yisrael v'Yehuda, ki ein azor ninelis b'Yisrael, b'chochmo v'yirascheit, u'be'emuno v'yishras levav kamoyu ayoy. There's no one in the whole world like the Rambam. How could you even talk this way? And he says not just that. V'hinei b'sefer ma'doi hayokar mipazu mipninim, diber b'kama mekoymes al he goes through the 24 people that have no chesed l'ayom haba. He says someone that denies tchias amesim, and he says clearly ki ukoifer v'apikiris umin ve'ech shogisa b'mamarav v'loy binoisa b'svarav v'loy havinoisa devarav. He says, I understand how you could do that. And then he says, Rav Haigoyin said similar things already to what the Rambam said. Rav Sadyagoyin said similar things to what the Rambam said. There's a real Messiah to maybe have this idea and this view of what things are going to look like in the end of days. And then he says, you didn't understand the Rambam. And he goes on and he has a whole arichas. At the very, very end, the Yad Ramah was a younger man at the time. And he says, I don't understand. First of all, you're a younger man. And he says, besides, he said, this is such a complex area. Wait, you're going to tell me you understand these sugyas? We know we don't understand it. So good, so the Rambam held a certain way, and you don't agree with what the Rambam said. But you're coming out fire and brimstone, and you're coming out and you're accusing the Rambam of things that you, mamash, we can't say out of our mouth. If it's a sugya, you have a clarkite in Memelo, but no one has a clarkite in this. That's his lashon. He says, you should know, koshke mitvorim shafilu akadmoinim achachomim v'agoinim lo yordu l'tachlas amitas o asidas. Yanki em soidois, v'enem efuroshes kechol atzorich b'sifrei anavuois, lo daso emes kami yimei shnei chayim moshiach, v'kami yir ben yimois ha-mashiach ben tchias ha-meisim, v'kami yir ben tchias ha-meisim v'ayil ma'apa, u'ma yasu ha-chayim ben tayim. V'achashen, neoma mimcho tushiyo, v'lo yodato aleza oilom hama, omer arab she'im b'guf ha-gviyo, hoysu lo tehilo l'cho dumiyo. You should have been quiet and you shouldn't have said anything. Either way, the Yad Ramah got the letter from Aaron Meshulam, and he sent back like a 10-page response. It's very long and it's very hard. At the end of the whole story, they decided that they're going to send this vikuach to the Rashmi Shantz. They're going to send it to the Rashmi Shantz. He was the head of the Bali Toysos living in France, and the Rashmi Shantz should be Machria. The Rashmi Shantz was Machria, and the way the Rashmi Shantz was Machria was like the Yad Ramah's understanding of La'asid Lovay, not like the Rambam's understanding of La'asid Lovay. Now, we rather mention this vikuach once upon a time, if it sounds familiar. It's in fact known in its Arabic word as the Kitab al-Rasail. We mentioned this in Perek HaMoiches HaSvina because one of the subplots that's playing itself out over here is, are you meant
And are you mechuyev to take all the gemaras that talk about different agadot to things literally or not literally? Because really a lot of it hinges upon that. If you're supposed to take all these imyanim literally, so literally it sounds like it's going to be one way. But if you're not supposed to take it literally, then it's going to be a little bit different. One of the arguments that Rabbi Aaron Bar Meshulam made back to the Yad Ramah was, he told him, "Vechiyala alev ish and nasan Hashem chochma beliboy lo kachas divrei agada kipshata v'apsukim kitzurasa." Any person that has lev and chochma knows not to take it literally. And the Rashmi Shantz, when he writes back to Rabbi Aaron Bar Meshulam and his machriya, he says, "You said how could a bardas take it literally? You know what I think? These are literally two completely diametrically opposed opinions as it relates to how we go about this in it. But either way, so the Rambam wrote his Mishnah Torah. Perik Tes, didn't say a word about Chiyas HaMesim. And the Yad Ramah, Rav Meir Halevi Abulafi, one of the great Rishonim of all time, he interpreted that as the Rambam being of the opinion that there's going to be no real Tchias HaMesim. And it's a mashal, it's a chida, and the Rambam, the Shitasa, who very often teaches things as being a mashal, a chida, this must be what he meant. This must be what he meant. And he said, as so many rayas, that that's not the way it is, and to do this is a bechin of being koyfet Tchias HaMesim. And that's the allegation that he puts at the doorstep of the Rambam, and this is his grosa macha that he makes on the svarim of the Rambam. Rabbi Aaron Bar Meshulam defended the Rambam. You have to go through it to get a better handle of what exactly the defense was. He responded back to Yad Ramah. They send it to the Rashmi Shantz, and the Rashmi Shantz says, not with regards to the Rambam, the Gavra, but as it relates to this Shita of Olam Haba Tchias HaMesim, he says, no way, Pshat over here is not like the Rambam. This is going to be a bona fide Tchias HaMesim where people are going to come back to life with their growth. Now, as it relates to the other Shita, that's Mitzvah Shem the third rate, right? We didn't even touch the other Shita yet. All we're saying is that there's Pukim on the Rambam. But I just want to mention one final thing, and that is that unbeknownst to Rameir Alevi, the Yad Ramah, and unbeknownst to the Chachmil Unil, and unbeknownst to the Rashmi Shantz, many years earlier, the Rambam himself was forced to defend his position. The Yad Ramah was not the mechadish of this ha'ara on the Shitas HaRambam. And the Rambam himself, b'chvoide v'atzmai, was forced to defend his position because there were others that were making similar allegations. They were accusing the Rambam of not believing in a literal Tchias HaMesim. And the Rambam defended it by writing a letter which apparently didn't really get the response that he was hoping it was going to get. And therefore, writing another letter, and that letter is what we know today as the Maimer Tchias HaMesim of the Rambam. The Maimer Tchias HaMesim was written as a response to this very argument. I'm just going to read a few excerpts of the Rambam Tchias HaMesim because it's very, very interesting. So the Rambam, in the beginning of Maimer Tchias HaMesim, he talks about his Mishnah Torah and his Pirush HaMishnayos, and he says like this, V'kasher hisparsem chiburenu zeh ba'arotzos, when our chibur became famous in all the lands, and from sea to shining sea, from one side of the world to the other side of the world, people were learning unzer esfar. Right? The Rambam's writing b'derech achna. It's interesting because the Rambam sometimes will say yearly, but here he's saying it. Then uns haben gesagt. Right? We said, not me, we. But either way, so when our svarim became a forsim, nemar lanu, it was told to us, she'echa min ha-talmidem b'damesek, that there was a Talmud, student, yeshiva bach in Damascus. Omar said, she'ain tchias ha-mesim. Right? It's kedai to hear this. So a Talmud gets up in Damascus, Syria, and he says, Rabbi said there's going to be no tchias ha-mesim. V'loi toshev ha-nefesh l'guf achre hiparta. And the nefesh is not going to return to the guf after it's separated. V'amru loi kolan she'am ha-mesim. Hu eich taim ha-zeh. And there were people there, and they started throwing things at him, right? They started saying, what are you talking about? How could you say that? He says, I have a raya. He says, what's the raya? I have a raya from the Rambam. This is the Rambam writing. He's brought a raya from uns. They said, listen, I know what you're talking about. It's Pasha, this is going to be a Tchias HaMesim. Everybody knows that, right? But Omar, he said back, he said, No. All those psukim, everything you know, kula mashal. They're all mashalim. Va'archu devreim imoy, and they had a whole debate. V'kashenoy dalonu masha'era. Word got back to us, and we were informed of what happened.
Lo yir gashnu elav. Ram says, I didn't pay attention to it. V'amarnu, because we said, zeh batal b'miyutai. Okay, there's one guy who misinterpreted what I said. No, you can't make all the people happy all the time, right? What are you going to do? So there's always going to be people that are going to err, right? Tzadikim yelchubam, upoichim yukashlubam, v'azolachton. She'ein misha yiskal, zeh v'loisha tiksha olav abonas mashamarnu. I can't believe rational people, but derek klal are going to make this mistake. But then it was in the year 1500 l'shtaris. This is the year 1189, Lemisparim. Higia Elenu Igeris Me'artzos Teman. This time we received a letter from Yemen. Yishaluba Al-Dvarim, where they were asking us questions to clarify what I wrote in Hilchas Tshuva. V'amru sheyesha noshem etzlam, and they said that there are people there, shepasku, that paskin, shaguf yichle, the guf dies, v'yipase, gone, and the nefesh is never going to return to the guf. And the gmul is only going to be for the nefesh. And again, what was the greater raya from us? And when the Olam questions, what are you talking about? We learned the beginning of Chelek. We just learned a few blot. That's not meant to be taken literally. And he said, this idea of miss or taking what I said to mean there's giving no real tchias amesim has already spread. It's pervasive. Ubikshu mimenu tshuva, and they asked me for a tshuva. Veheshivuni al sheilusam. So he said, I responded. Ubeyarnu lahem, and I explained to them shetchias amesim pinos atayra. It's a very important thing. Veheshoyv hanefesh laguf alo yefayr is there, because one day the nefesh is going to return to the guf. Veshechayu olam haba achat tchias amesim, but then a person's going to die and then he's going to go back. Meaning, even though the Rambam says not to preclude the fact that there's Olam Haba now, but that a person's going to go there, like we wrote in Perek Chelek, and I was pretty confident that I was able to quash all these rumors. But then this year, it happened again. 2 years later, this is already the year 1191. Higienu aleinu ksavim mimixas chavrenu mibavel. This time we got it from Baghdad. Zachru shashol me'anshei teiman shol on yonam mehem ba'atzman. Either way, the tumult started. I got it from Damascus, said the Rambam. Then I heard it from Yemen. And now I heard it from Baghdad. And I realized the whole world is misunderstanding. And they're misinterpreting my sheet, the Tchias HaMesim. So the Rambam says, I have no choice. I have to take matters in my own hand. He said, to make things worse, somebody wrote a letter explaining my sheet. And I don't think it's the pshat. He says, you know, sometimes you have to, right? You have to control the narrative. So says the Rambam, I'm going to control the narrative right now, and I am going to tell you the emes. And he says as follows. I'm skipping a lot. He says, I want you to know, Zok the Rambam, that Tchias HaMesim is one of the Yisoides. And someone who doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim is a koifer be'ikr. And he's someone that has no chelik in Teiras Moshe. Right? She Tchias HaMesim ha-mefursemes va-noidas b'mu-senu ha-muskem oleo asher rav zichro b'tfilois mechlal kitoisenu ba-sipurim u-ba-tchinois asher chibur ba-navim g'day la-chachomim in yono shoiv zois ha-nefesh l'guf achrei ha-preda ze ma-shaloi nishma ba-uma ma-chloikis ola ve-ein boi pirish klal ve-ein mutter la-hamim be-ish me-anche ha-da. If anyone tells you that this is not going to be a real Tchilas HaMesim, he's a liar. And the Rambam, by the way, goes on to say that even though I very often am a farish things that it really means a mashal, not this. This is different. This is not a mashal. This is meant to be taken very, very literally. And he goes on and on and on. And he says it's 100% literal. You cannot make a mistake. He says, so why did everyone make a mistake? He said, obviously, because I was so mayrich as it relates to Olam Haba. And I only mentioned briefly Tchilas HaMesim. Right? Here's the irony of the whole thing. The Olam was accusing the Rambam of not believing in a real Tchias HaMesim. The problem is the Rambam spoke about Tchias HaMesim. He said it. He did mention it. Okay, so he wasn't Meirich in Tchias HaMesim. The whole Perikhes, Perik Tesel, Cheshuva, the whole Akdom of the Perik Chelek is all Olam Haba, Olam Haba, Olam Haba. He wasn't Meirich in Tchias HaMesim. But the Rambam said, I don't understand. I have to be Meirich. He says, why do I have to be Meirich? And then the Rambam says, you should know, my derech is to always be Mekatzer. That's my derech. He says a famous lush in here. If I had the ability to take the entire Talmud and encapsulate it in one perek, I would have never put it into two. My derech is always to be mekatzer. Sometimes you have to be meirich. If I have what to say and to contribute. He says, Tchias HaMesim, vazolich zogin. It's a miracle. It's a nes. It's not something we could understand. It's something we have a munu shalem is going to happen. Ma'arech, he says. He says, I don't understand the chaperai. He He says, I mentioned Chiyas HaMeis. It's not like I didn't mention it. I very much mentioned it. Elamai, I wasn't Meirich. I wasn't Meirich because I didn't see the Toyelis in me Meirich. Oymam Abbas, the Ikir, it's the Tachlis. The Oymam Abbas, something that people think involves the Guf. I have to explain to them it doesn't involve the Guf. Oymam Abbas is maybe people make light of it. I have to make sure they're not. The fact that people are going to come back to life sounds amazing to me, right? You'll have Gan Eden, there'll be good things going on. So why is that something I have to be Meirich? I'm not sure what the Toyelos of me Meirich is, says the Rambam at the end. And this, by the way, is the big argument. Can I get all the... And that's where Aaron Ber Meshulam right away told the Yad Ramai. He says, Vos fill stuff in the Rambam. Because he wasn't Meirich in it? So he wasn't Meirich in it. But Lamais, he said it. He said him a furish. So if he said him a furish, then you know he's not a Koyfe B'tchis. I can even say those words out of your mouth. That's what he wrote them. He says, I don't understand this whole tumble, the whole thing a little bit. Is something that's evading me. But the bottom line is, the Rambam went and he defended his position of Chiyas HaMeis. But I just want, as a postscript to this, right? A very important postscript. And that is, so the Rambam was defended by Rabbi Aaron Ber Meshulam. He was defended by different Rabbonim and that Kufa. The Rambam himself wrote a Maimer Chiyas HaMeis to defend. Of course, the Rambam sheet is that there's going to be a real Chiyas HaMeis. Chiyas HaMeis, that the guf that died is going to stand up. And all those gemaras and psukim that say Chiyas HaMeis, it's going to happen. And even though the Rambam sometimes holds things up in Moshe V'chida, he was very Meirich to explain why this is different. Over here, there's no question in the world that there's going to be a Chiyas HaMeis in a very real sense. It's just not the Tachlis. It's not the Iker. In fact, people are going to die and they're going to go back to the Iker, which is Olam Haba. Right? That's really what the Iker is. But just to be clear, what you walk away not understanding from the Rambam, which is probably what triggered this whole Indian in the first place, is the Rambam never explained what the purpose of Chiyas HaMeis is, and really what's going to happen in the time of Chiyas HaMeis. Because if the Tzaddikim are already in Olam Haba, it's like the Yad Ramah said, why are they coming back to life, to live, let's say they'll be Meirich, they'll live 1,000 years, and then what? And then go back? What's the point? It just doesn't seem to make any sense. And the Rambam really never explained Chiyas HaMeis. If you look at the Rambam in his Akdamah to Perek Chelek, in that one paragraph where he talks about Chiyas HaMeis, this is what he says. U'Chiyas HaMeis yisoid mi yisoid des Teres Moshe. Ein dos v'lo histapkus pa'uma ha-Yehudas l'misha inu maimim bozer. Right, it's a foundation. It's one of the pillars of belief of a Yid. And if a person doesn't believe in Chiyas HaMeis, he has no shaychas to Yiddishkeit. Aval hi l'tzadikim, ulashoyim bereshis rabba gvuris gshama l'tzadikim ul'risham, u'Chiyas HaMeisim l'tzadikim. After a person's going to go for Chiyas HaMeis, he's going to die again. So did the Rambam explain what the purpose of Chiyas HaMeis is? No. He just said it to Yisoid. Mi Yisoid is Teres Moshe. In das v'lo histapkus ba'uma Yehudis l'misha einu maimim bazeh. What's even more interesting is that the Rambam, at the end of his Akdamah to Perek Chelek, he goes to the 13 Animamims. And the 13th Animamim is... Right, what's the 13th animamin? Animamin b'amun shalema shetir tchias amesim be'eshet talu rotzim me'esa bar yisparuk shemoi v'yisalu zichro la'ad ulenetzach netzachem. So zok the Rambam here, and when he's gonna now tell you what ikur tchias amesim is, you ready? Sitting or you're standing? Ba'yisoy dashloisha asa tchias amesim kvar biarnu. We explained it already. We explained it already. The Rambam didn't say one word. All the Rambam said was, you have to believe us. Vetzayin tchias amesim. It's Mavur in the Rambam, that the Rambam holds, that we taka don't know vos vetzayin tchias HaMeis. We don't know. Oh, but we have a chiv to believe svetzayin tchias HaMeis. And that is the yisoid. The yisoid of a mood of tchias HaMeis is, animame b'amudah shalem eshetiyah tchias HaMeis. When be'eshetal erotzim eisa bar yisparach shemoi. V'yisal ezichra la'ad ulenetzach netzochem. That's all you have to believe. You have to believe as svetzayin tchias HaMeis. Oh, but vos tchias HaMeis is, the Rambam said, that you don't have to believe. That's not the Iker. He says, Kfar Biyarnu. Look back at what I refer. What did I write? I just wrote that you have to believe it. And if you don't believe in it, you know. But here it gets even better. The Rambam wrote a whole Maimer Tchias HaMeisim. Pages long. And he didn't explain anywhere in the Maimer Tchias HaMeisim what the purpose of Tchias HaMeisim is. It's clear that that wasn't the Rambam's objective. All the Rambam wanted you to know was one thing. There's going to be a Tchias HaMeisim. And any person who doesn't believe in Tchias HaMeisim, he's kofrin the Yud Gimel Ikrim. And even though the Rambam didn't talk about it 100 times, the Rambam said, I mean, think about how many Shtiklach Torah we know from a Diyak in our Rambam. And Mali if it's a Rambam in Hilchas Niske Momin, Mali if it's a Rambam in Hilchas Yimim V'chalitza, or Mali if it's a Rambam in Hazak Domet HaPerek Chelek. I explained to you my Shita. You have it it right there. Avadi, you have to believe in Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim is not the Iker. Tchias HaMeisim is going to happen in Olam Hazeh, which is going to run parallel to Olam Haba in the end of days. People are, the Tzadikim are going to come back. Why? The Rambam never, ever explained. Which is what arose the suspicion amongst the people that weren't understanding. Right? The Yad Ramah, you have to be Miyashiv the Yad Ramah. I mean, the Rambam's the Rambam, but the Yad Ramah's the Yad Ramah. You have to be Miyashiv him. He went through Perichez, Perich Tesel Cheshuv. He didn't see the Rambam mention one word. And even though the Rambam talks about Tchias HaMeisim, but he never explained it. He never, ever explained it. Even when the Rambam wrote his Maimon Tchias HaMeisim, he didn't explain it. And it just seemed a little suspicious to him. And as a result, he interpreted to mean that the Rambam also is no physical Tchias HaMeisim. And the whole Tchias HaMeisim is just some spiritual thing. It's a Moshel and a Chida, like the Rambam writes. He wrote in his Akdamah Techelik about Moshel and Chida. The whole Maimon Nevuchim is filled with that. So that, it was his understanding of what's going on over here. But the Rambam clarified Tchias HaMeisim, Chas V'Chalila. No way in the world. There's a real Tchias HaMeisim that's going to happen. It's the 13th of the Animamims. The Chiddush of the Rambam Sheet is that it's not the Iker. That's not the Iker. You want to know what the Iker is? Iker is Olam Haba. Olam Haba is where a person goes if he's Zoicha after he dies. Olam Haba is where people are going to go when they die, even being Moisa Mashiach. Even Noch the Shis Alfishnin. Because the world Olam Hazeh is going to run parallel, like the Rambam writes in the Meira, Chelik Beis Perichof. That says in Mefurish that the world is going to go on forever and ever and ever. There's going to be a Nitzchias in Olam Hazeh. There's going to be a Nitzchias in Olam Haba. The tachlis of it is Olam Haba. Tchias HaMeisim is Olam Hazeh. Why Tchias HaMeisim? The Rambam didn't say. But here's the good news. It doesn't really matter. It's not the Iker. The Iker, pun intended, is as Medav Gleben. That is the Iker of Tchias HaMeisim. Either way, this is just a little bit of an understanding of the Shita Sarambam. What we need to do now is we now need to shift our attention to understand some of the other Shitas in the Rishonim, Beroisham, the Ramban, who wrote a whole sefer called Sharag Mol, much of which is dedicated to understanding Mamish, these Inyanim, the Dvarim Ha'im, the Beruma Shalom that we're learning here in the beginning of Perek Chelek. But we are going to stop here.